Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And we have Pastor Bent from Calvary Chapel here for the invocation. If you all rise, please.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just really so blessed to live in this country, and in this country to live in this state, and in this state to live in this city. And one of the blessings we have from you is self-governing. So, Lord, we ask for you to be present here. We're going to need you. There are decisions to be made that will affect the citizens as well as the government. And we pray that the best decisions that could be made would be made tonight by your guidance. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. If you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is to amend the agenda.
I move we amend the agenda to add item 7G, resolution number R54-2017, authorizing the mayor to sign Keller Associates Incorporated contract for city engineering support services.
Second.
Motion is seconded, made and seconded to add item 7G under business for resolution number R54-2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next is the consent agenda.
All right, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a report from CUNA Police Department Comparables Presentation. CUNA Police Chief John McDaniel.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, consideration of your time, I'll keep this as short as I can. So on page 171 of your packet is the chart which compares CUNA's revenue to comparable cities in Idaho. These cities include Mountain Home, Jerome, and Blackfoot. As your police chief, I am concerned about having enough future funding to adequately staff a police force that can respond to the increased calls of our rapidly growing community. As CUNA's population approaches that 20 to 30,000 resident mark, the police force on a regular basis will be required to respond to multiple incidents occurring at the same time. CUNA police will need to be around the one officer per 1,000 resident ratio in order to keep our response times at that acceptable rate. If you look at the bottom graph, the average of the three comparable cities spend about $225 per resident on police services. I think the challenge for us is that the entire CUNA city budget is $240 per resident. Blackfoot spends, for example, more on police services alone, and Mountain Home isn't far behind. That makes it about 36% of CUNA's budget is spent on police services. To approach that one officer per 1,000 resident mark, this 36% would need to be closer to 50% of the city budget. So I don't know where that gap would come from. We all have important roles to do for the city between the challenges and opportunities that we have. And I just want to say I appreciate the support of the council and support of the leadership team. They've been great to work with in the short 4 or 5 months I've been here. And I just look forward to looking for ways to fund CUNA's future. I know you have some very tough decisions. I would hate to be in your shoes. And I stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Chief?
No.
And so for the for the most part, this is a long-term goal.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I realize that you're doing everything in your power to. There's nothing more you can be doing. I absolutely realize that. And, you know, as we're talking about budgets, I just wanted to. I welcome, you know, us working together and looking for ways to make these, hopefully make these conversations less tough in the future.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Chief, one quick question. Yes. Just where are we as far as the, I mean, how many officers do we have towards the one per thousand? So we're at 18,000. We would need 18. Where are we sitting right now?
Yeah, we're at 13 right now, which is, we're about at the 0.7.
So we need at least 5 to even get caught up, plus any additional growth coming in the next few years to cover those.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's where the in the graph I didn't put it in there, but it'd be right around 50% of the budget if we were to hit that mark right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you guys do. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Item 6A. This is a public hearing. Public hearing and consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-10, amending CUNA City Code 5-1-6-2, meanings and terms and words, and 5-3-3, and deleting 6-5-4, Richard Roetz, City Attorney. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody who wished to testify who didn't get a chance to sign up on the sheet on this item? Okay, I'll call for that again here before we get going with that. But Richard Roetz, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. For the record, Richard Roetz. Disappointed that there's not more people from the community that wanted to talk on this.
I'm sure they were all excited.
I mean, we're changing the dictionary definitions. Ms. Howell did a memorandum outlining these changes. The first one is changing the dictionary to what is recommended by the American Planners Association. Second one is probably the most significant of it, which is dealing with minimum street frontages on the R4, R6. As you recall, on some of the subdivisions that wanted to be R4 designations, they came in as R6s because that's how they met the minimum street frontage that they were doing. So what it really does is when you have the minimum street frontage, it almost makes you have cookie-cutter type subdivisions so you can meet that minimum street front requirement. In this case, it's now, instead of being mandatory, it's going to be at the discretion of the Director of Planning and Zoning, Wendy, to determine if there's the appropriate change that the developer is proposing meets with the requirements. So, and then third is just changing the height from 60 to 100 feet to meet the some of the industrial buildings that are being proposed. So I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Richard.
Richard, I had one question for you. Is it a requirement to even have a street frontage in the definition of our zones?
It is not. In fact, we could consider removing that from city code.
So it's I would assume square footage of the lot that meets that?
Yes.
Okay.
Many jurisdictions don't, so we have it, so we're just backing it up to make it discretionary.
Okay. Further questions?
Mayor, I yep. don't have any problems with it. I mean, I think even at some point, if we even want to remove it, I mean, if it's not required, then we wouldn't even have to make a decision. So, we wouldn't. At some point, I don't know if it could be done tonight, but if we need to get this through tonight for something, and then later on consideration, I would be open to that.
Okay. Okay. This is a public hearing, so we'll go ahead and open this public hearing. And again, I didn't have anyone that signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter? Seeing none, we will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Time for debate by council.
Yeah, well, staff's recommending it. I don't see any objections or concerns in the packet. And it seems like it makes sense to give us a little bit more flexibility in terms of development. So, with that being said, I move we, waive three readings of Ordinance 2017-10.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2017-10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Move we approve Ordinance 2017-10.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Ordinance 2017-10. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And I move we approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2017-10.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2017-10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Upon publication, will become law. Item 7A, consideration to approve case number 17-02-LLA. This is a lot line adjustment. Jace Hellman, planner. Oh, I thought I saw Jace earlier. Well, let's do Trevor instead.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Council members, thank you. I'm filling in for Jace because he's at the Northwest Community Development training this week. So, not much here to add on this case before you. This is a lot line adjustment between both parties that have worked out an agreement between them themselves to adjust this lot line to give one owner more property and get rid of some property for the other owner. Both parties are applicant to this application, so they are in agreement with the lot line adjustment. Staff would just like to add that we've checked with the fire department as far as access on this. If they were to move this lot line, the existing parcel has issues with access for the fire department. This lot line would move. There would still, those existing issues would not be rectified. It's just transferring the issue from one owner to another. As far as future development on the lot, I can't speculate as to what the owner wishes to do with this extra land. Just that both parties are in agreement with the lot line adjustment, and I'll stand for any questions you might have.
Okay. Questions for Trevor.
Mayor?
Yeah.
My property borders this adjustment, so on advice of council, I will be recusing myself from voting.
And I should also disclose that one of those properties belongs to my brother. So
hopefully there's no tie.
We have a little nepotism going.
We can't be with, well. There can't be a tie. No, there's three of you.
Yeah.
Again,
so.
I guess I would say though that's with my brother's health issues. That's been a real issue for him to be able to keep that maintained and keep the weeds down, and so it's certainly going to be a weight off of his shoulders to not have that hunk back in there anymore. So.
Okay, well, I don't see, everybody's in agreement on it. I don't see any real concern with moving forward on this. So I move we approve case number 17-02-LLA.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case number 17-02-LLA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. I guess let the record show that Councilmember Jones recused himself. Item 7B, Downtown Revitalization Project, bid updates and council direction. Chris Ingalls, City Clerk, Bob Bartman, Public Works Director, and JUB Engineering. If you want to go in whatever order you want to go.
Well, I will kick things off. Chris Ingalls, City Clerk, for the record. Mayor and Council, we've brought before you for your consideration and discussion, the Downtown Revitalization Project Phase 1, to review the bids as well as give direction to staff going forward. And Brian Smith and Lisa Bachman from JUB are in attendance, and they will be reviewing the details of the project with you. So I will go ahead and roll it over to Lisa to begin with.
Lisa, hi, thank you.
Hi, thank you, Chris. Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Lisa Bachman with JUB. I've been helping with the planning and funding for this exciting project, and I'm happy to be here. So, as you've seen in the memo, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that we've made it this far and so close to the finish line. As for the bad news, and as you can see in the memo, the construction bid came in high. When I say the construction bid, that means one bid that we received, which is not too surprising given market conditions, but it also represents another hurdle, which is certainly not the first on this project. So there's a few things I wanted to go over before answering any questions about the information in the memo. And as Chris has stated, Brian Smith is also here from JUB. He's an engineer on the project, and he can answer specific questions regarding the bidding process and the pricing and that kind of thing. So to start, I want to take you down memory lane just a little bit. And this is something we kind of had to do internally because it's just such a downer to get a high bid like that. And, you know, you kind of have to evaluate what do we do from here. So I remember back in October of 2014, and I believe many of you either attended the meeting or you were on city council or involved some way. But during a visioning session, the theme that we walked away with from the public, which we had a lot of public input and attendance at that meeting, they walked away saying, when are you going to build something? We keep talking about it, but there's no action. They were tired of hearing about the planning and the this and that. They wanted to see action and change downtown. So this led to the Downtown Revitalization Plan, the design committee meetings, grant applications, and several funding requests put in. The city applied for multiple grants, which covered a good chunk of the project costs. And going into the bidding process, we had secured enough funds to cover the project costs. The fundraising campaign is launching to incorporate art, banners, flowers, and those types of things to make the final touches on the project, and we're excited to meet that goal and be able to implement those final touches on the project. And then to date, all of the engineering costs and project costs have been made possible because of grant money. So I just wanted to kind of give you a little overview on that. And as you can see, the options that are presented before you tonight are either to reject or accept the bid. And there are pros and cons to each. Agencies all around are experiencing the same thing, so you're not alone in this issue that you're facing tonight. We have heard that Caldwell had a project bid $2 million over their estimated cost. They decided to move forward with the project and use contingency funds to make it a reality. The city of Nampa also had many projects come in over that they had bid, and they went ahead and used their contingency funds to move forward and fill the gaps on many of those projects. I think all of them in Nampa that I'm aware of. And then we've also heard of some agencies deciding to rebid the project, and that's why we put that out there as a potential option to look at for you tonight. So a little bit of details about the first option, and I'm not going to go into numbers because I'm not good at dealing with numbers in a situation like this, so hopefully Brian can answer those specific questions. So I'll just give like kind of a high-level overview of each option for you. So the first option of accepting the bid would result in moving forward as planned, but with additional match money provided by the city. We see this as the least risky option, both financially and in the public's eye, given all the factors at play, which are outlined in your memo, and I'll go over a few right now. So the design as is publicly supported, and any changes would need to be revisited by the design committee and the public. So in the big scheme of things, grant money and monies from ACHG would still far surpass the funding that CUNA would be contributing towards the project, even with the additional funds. Another thing I wanted to throw out there is that we did apply for additional funds from Compass, and simply they only approved about half of what we asked for. So if we would have gotten that grant money, we wouldn't have this shortfall today and wouldn't even have to be talking about this tonight. One thing I want to do is assure you that no stone has gone unturned in trying to find all the grant money and resources possible. This is a patchwork of funding options, very collaborative effort to get to this point. So the second option of rejecting the bid would involve putting the project on hold, some redesign, because we'd have to pull out some components, change things up, and rebid this fall or winter with construction in 2018 and hoping that prices would come down with a new bid. With all of the land development projects on top of that, you could safely assume that contractors will be busy picking and choosing which projects to take on and determining how much money they want to make on a project, essentially. So really, we don't know if bids will come in lower, and we don't know that we'll receive more than one bid if we do go ahead and rebid the project. So that's where that kind of risk factor comes in. That's just, like I said, just a quick brief overview, and with that, we will stand for any questions.
And then I'll just add a little bit to that, too. Many of the other cities and even Ada County Highway District are running into the same issue. Like Lisa said, Middleton actually decided on one of theirs that they're going to immediately go out to rebid it. I don't know how that's going to work for them. They're hoping to get more people to bid was kind of their strategy on that. From what I've heard, there's enough projects that will be going out to bid this winter that I'm not really sure we can bank on the fact that the bids are going to come in any less. So it's kind of a roll the dice kind of thing on which way to go, which way is actually best. And I guess the bottom line of it is getting a project done or not doing a project altogether. So unfortunately, with the economy being good like it is, that's going like gangbusters for a lot of people, but then projects like this come in and get bid high. So that's kind of where we're at today. It's a little disappointing. We've worked really hard to get this far, so it was pretty disheartening to open that bid and find it to be that much too high. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at today.
Mayor, if I could have the floor. Lisa, we have some grants. How long can those grants be suspended before we lose them?
Good question, Councilman Cardoza. The block grant is pretty flexible as long as we keep them up to speed on what's going on. That's a grant for $500,000. And the federal grant, we have 9 months to get funding expended on the federal grant.
We have 9 months to start the project or complete it to mandate that?
I believe it's to start the project.
To start it.
To obligate the money, correct.
Okay.
And then Ada County Highway District also has some funding in there. We were kind of concerned that it was coming out of this budget year, so they might not be too happy about moving it into the next budget year, but they understand the nature of things, so they are willing to go either way, either this year or next year, so without pulling funds.
One last question, maybe to Chris. Chris, will the city's obligation be about $485,000 if we okay this today?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
I would also like to let council know that I talked with Tony Tisdale with Compass, and yesterday we submitted an additional request for additional funds. It's only about $18,000 available right now. However, there may be additional funds late winter, early spring that we could be in consideration for as well. So.
And then if those come through, then of course that would reduce our...
It would reduce... what came out of city coffers. That's just how we, if council approves funding and we get funding to cover that, then we just leave that in the contingency fund. We don't overspend on that amount.
If we were to approve the expenditure of additional funds tonight, would this be finished before those additional funds would come available, and would they then consider giving them to us for a project that's already completed, or would they figure it's already been paid for, so...
If you approve the funds tonight and we move forward and construction is completed by before winter sets in, then if those funds became available next winter, then we would not be in consideration because the project would be done. If council decides to rebid the project, then we would then seek those funds at that time. But council also would recognize that they potentially – we'll see another request come if we don't get those funds and the bid comes in, that we're going to come back and have to talk with you about it again.
I have one question, I guess. I see that there's option one and option two in here. Option two includes an additional $15,000 in engineering costs to modify the plan. Would there be any value in just rebidding it straight without making changes? Are we allowed to do that or not allowed to do that? Okay.
We're not allowed to do that because it's considered bid shopping. And so I spoke with ITD, Aaron Bodges there, and he said that we would have to change the project, a component of it. We can't, like, just remove one light, but we could remove the light poles and maintain the conduit. And that's just an example. There are other things that could be considered as well. So you can't bid shop.
Do we have the flexibility to change the scope of project after it's been bid? Like, I don't know how much eliminating colored concrete would change anything, but can we do stuff like that, or is that not allowed?
We would do that if we would review it and bring that forth with bid alternates. So we would define what the base bid would cover, which would be, and of course the engineer is welcome to jump in any time. It would cover the sidewalks, infrastructure, those kind of things. Some of those costs, there's no bid alternate on those, but staining concrete, additional bulb outs.
But we could, like, modify the existing bid we already received by changing things like that. We would need to rebid it.
Right.
Okay.
So if you did a rebid, though, you can list some of those things as bid alternates on top of the base bid. And then if money is available, then you can add those alternates into that base bid and select them or not select them.
But, so does council understand the how the base bid and the alternate bids are and how that all works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mayor, I might suggest that we table this since we're going to be going into 8A on the budget. I would think this money would have to come out of the contingency fund, which we'll be carrying forward. Maybe after discussion, we have a better view of how much we're carrying forward.
Okay.
Do we have a time frame in which we need a decision? Do we need?
Council, did you want to answer that? Or?
If council believes that they want to fund the project at this time to move forward, then we would probably need to know today so that we can get back with contracts so that construction can occur while the weather is feasible.
Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a tough question, not one that I'm supporting, but to date, I believe we've already spent about $130,000 on engineering costs and such. If we were to cancel this project, and that was grant money, would we have to pay that grant money back out of?
Thank you, Councilman Jones. That's a good question. That's a question I haven't asked the grant agency yet. However, you can almost safely assume that that money would have to be paid back because they were under the impression that we would spend money to build a project. Typically, they don't fund just engineering costs. Yeah. So I could see that as a viable avenue that you would have to take and pay that back.
And I would probably agree with that. I just had to ask that question.
Right.
What is there changes that can be done that would not trigger re-engineering? Does anything that we do, if we remove any project, a part of the project, that would not trigger that $15,000 re-engineering?
I'll let Brian answer that.
For the record, Brian Smith, JEB Engineers. Councilman Jones, that's a good question. I think what the $15,000, if I understand it from talking to Tim Blair, who's project manager on this, really gets into revising the specifications, revising the plans, and in essence, re-showing the base bid that Chris was talking about. We have to show a change to that base bid so that we're not bid shopping, just like what she was saying. So I guess to answer your question, my knowledge, there's nothing that could be done with just the plans as they sit today. The changes are,
it's just one of those things. If you look at that set of plans, it's a pretty extensive set of plans. So you change one sheet, you're changing several sheets, that sort of thing. Even though the changes themselves are not materially significant, there's just a lot that goes into it to make sure when you rebid it that you're bidding a complete package.
So removing something as simple as some landscaping would trigger that reengineering?
Well, it would not necessarily trigger reengineering, but you definitely have to go through and revise the specifications, revise the bid forms, things like that. You know, in the plans, we show the limits of what the base bid is, just so that when you do that and you go to construction, that there's not, or you really minimize or reduce the opportunity for potential change orders or confusion once they bid it and get into it.
The other question I have, and I'll put this out here right now. Here's some of my concerns. It's a lot of money. I think, you know, the amount of money. I think we're getting something good out of it, but it's definitely a lot more money than what we were expecting. I'm concerned that we haven't even broken ground yet, so I don't know if anything's going to pop up there that's going to require additional funding. I'm very concerned that this is only part of the project, that when phase two comes in, that if we're already roughly 25% over our estimated cost of phase one, where are we going to be over on phase two? If we've even done an estimate. I assume, I don't think any of us, I'll just speak for myself, I would hate to approve phase one to be done and never be able to complete phase two because we have no money to do that. So I'm very concerned about that. Do you know if there has been any rough estimate of what phase two is going to cost us?
I don't know what the answer to that question is. I'm trying to recall from some of the previous conversations that I've had with Tim Blair. And unfortunately, he's out of town this week. But I don't know as far as if those estimates that have been done or looked at in the past have been updated. It's a very difficult thing to kind of look in the crystal ball and see, you know, who's going to bid it and what the bidding environment is going to be. So I guess I don't have a very good answer for that at all.
And I understand that. I mean, the last thing I want to do is also put any pressure on any future council who would be, you know, not necessarily binded to completing this project, but under pressure to complete it, because I think there would be possibly some backlash if we could not do phase two at some point and only completed phase one.
Councilmember Jones, if I could just jump in. Phase two, without a revised estimate, is at about $1.4 million. We have a commitment of $300,000 from Compass with TMA TAP funds, and then we will be pursuing additional straight TAP funds as well. So I understand your concerns about phase two, but I just want to make sure that you knew what we knew at this point.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because I didn't know that, and that really is a little bit of concern. Don't we have other options to fund this as far as like an LID or something like that?
We have the ability to do like urban renewal districts and that type of thing. The problem with that urban renewal districts and those even LIDs, they are based on growth and increase in tax revenue and those kinds of things. So downtown, there's really no chance that that's going to grow out and increase in size and revenue and that type of thing on those taxes. So it would actually create a need for a larger urban renewal district and that type of thing for those funds to come in and pay for the downtown. So actually anything that we would do downtown in that type of realm would actually cost more than the revenue would bring in. So that's kind of why we haven't looked at those options, and the numbers just don't pencil out to make that work properly.
And I'm not directing this at you or anybody. I'm just making my comment in general. The concern I have as a citizen, with the amount of money that's going into this, I'm concerned that, you know, as a private citizen with no business or anything, what am I getting out of this? I mean, obviously, there's probably some blighted, consider some blighted issues with that main street. I know there's some stuff that has to be done. I mean, I know the sidewalks need to be replaced. I know there's some stuff that needs. I think there's some stuff that wants. But, I mean, to spend almost $500,000 that I can have 2 splash pads, I can have 10 years of playground equipment, I mean, it's a lot of money to spend, and I'm just concerned about that. I'm not saying that I'm not voting against this, from that side to look at that, I mean, there's a lot of things we can do with that money. So I'm just, if we were talking $100,000, I probably wouldn't have quite as much concern as I do. But, I mean, we're more than double what we originally obligated. So I know that's not your guys' fault. I really think that putting something out for bid in the winter is not going to change anything unless something happens. I just think that this valley is growing so big that there's so many projects that I don't ever see it getting bid less. I'm a little disappointed that we can't necessarily compromise a little bit and remove some of it without having to incur additional cost. I guess I'm disappointed in that we can't maybe give a little to get a lot more. But I think I agree with Councilman Cardoza. I think we need to probably look at some of the budget stuff before we. I would like to look at some of the budget stuff before we actually make a decision. So I don't have a problem trying to make a decision tonight, but I would like to do it later on after we review the budget. So,
okay. All right. Did anyone have any further questions for anyone here? We want to go ahead.
If I could have the floor, Mayor. John, what is our contingency carryover for 2017? Was that the $1.8 million?
Councilmember Cardoza, for the record, John Marsh. No, that is incorrect. Let me grab you the number here that we're anticipating.
And then also you'll notice on page 228 there that the part of that comes from general fund and public work fund is part of it.
I guess that's my next question, Mayor. Is it allocated that Public Works has those funds available, or is that contingency also?
Councilmember Cardoza, that forecasted number is $1,547,347, and that is the general fund reserve balance or forecasted reserve balance.
Okay. What is the carryover contingency from the Public Works funds then?
Okay. A caveat on these numbers, of course, we have not discussed the budgeting for these funds yet, and there are some pretty significant capital projects planned. So all these are going to have to be weighed by the council. But the water forecast is $693,708. The sewer forecast is $1,360,322. And the, excuse me, back up one minute. Sorry about that. I gave you an incorrect number. Starting over with water, $2,888,393.
At least your numbers are going up as you go back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. Sewer fund is $2,984,664. And the irrigation fund is $1,621,937.
Would the $167,700 then be divided among the sewer, PI, water?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Councilman Cardoza, when I came up with those numbers, what I did is went through the scope of the project to took out all water-related items and all PI-related items to come up with the split that is on that. There would be no sewer funds used, just water and PI.
Is there a reallocation of the sewer water, or not the sewer, but the runoff water over to the school?
That would be stormwater, so that we don't, that would be ACHD. We don't have a fund for
stormwater.
We don't have
to worry about that.
Well, we can use Public Works funds for it because it's ACHD would own that system.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, further questions? Otherwise, if you would like to move to table this until after budget discussion or whatever is the pleasure of the council.
Do you want me to make it another item on the on the agenda or just table it until after the budget?
We can just table it until a certain item.
I move we table discussion of
7B.
Agenda item 7B. Until we finish agenda item 8A, the budget workshop.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table item 7B until after our discussion on item 8A. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Uh, 7C, information on city's petition to intervene Emmert Water Rights, Richard Roach, City Attorney.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. For the record, again, Richard Roach. Just a quick update to Council. Mr. Emmert applied for some groundwater rights. His property that he farms, the seed farm, is southwest of Lake Lowell. The Boise Project protested that. They went through the protest hearing, and the hearings officer came up with a ruling that has caused the city's concern. Essentially, what they said is Mr. Emmert, because he's going to be drawing this groundwater out, it's going to be seeping from both Lake Lowell and the canals that the Boise Project has, because they have seepage in there, so their canals and the lake isn't watertight, so now Mr. Emmert has to compensate them for that water that's going to seep out of their storage facility and their conveyance facilities. For Mr. Emmert, it wasn't a great deal of mitigation, but potentially for the cities in the Treasure Valley and perhaps the state of Idaho that are faced with these similar situations, it could be significant. If at some point Boise Project says to the city of CUNA, you have 27 miles of canals running through your city that leak, that are Boise Project Canal, and you're drawing water out of the water tables, you're now responsible to make his canals watertight because of the seepage. So that was a big concern. So the cities got together. This decision came out the 19th of June. Last week it was circulated. We got together and spent the week doing the petition to intervene. And the brief that was filed last Friday, it's a high number of pages that we did on that, so I will keep you advised of that. At this point, the cities are just contributing their legal time to it, so there's not been any discussion about cost. It's all contributing to the briefs and going from there, but it could be a significant issue to the municipalities and some other larger water users. Suez, who provides water to Boise and a couple of other cities, is one of the big players in it. Obviously, they have the most water that they're using. So just give you a little information on that, and then I'll update you if the petition's granted and where we're going to go. Boise Project, just a little bit more information. The hearings examiner found the Lake Lowell, and now they came back and asked for the canals, which if they follow the same theory, they probably would grant that petition. So could be significant. Thank you. Let's stand for questions.
And I assure you that all the pages that Richard has handed me to read on that have been really keeping me on the edge of my seat.
Richard, that water would be foregone if it leaked into the water table. Why are they holding the users accountable if it's foregone water?
Yeah, and that was the argument we made is, historically it's been at that point of diversion where you're responsible if you take the water. This hearings officer said, no, it's anything in the conveyance system or the storage facilities that you're responsible for. So they just ran through, and I can't imagine how much it's cost and how boring this hearing was to listen to these two battling experts talk about the seepage responsible for the amount that Mr. Emmer was going to draw out. But they did their modeling. The big issue is the Boise Project's model was Treasure Valley wide, and as you know, some ground seeps a lot more than others. So they came up with a general model to this to determine what seepage is and what Mr. Emmert's responsibility would be for that, and came up with a value that he owed for the mitigation.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome.
Interesting stuff.
Any further questions for Richard on that? Thank you, Richard.
Briefs are available for your pleasure.
Item 7D, consideration to approve rental of video equipment to CUNA Chamber of Commerce. Richard Rotes, City Attorney.
Good evening again. Richard Rotes, thank you. It's just a draft of an agreement for your review for rental of the video equipment. It doesn't have it itemized in there, but just what we were looking at. I think the biggest issue we were worried about is if, when it's in their possession, if it's damaged or destroyed, what we need to do about that. Bobby and I worked on it and determined that it was best if we transport it. There's that time there, when the window would be smaller, opportunity to have it destroyed instead of running in the back of the car and hauling it over there and setting it up and doing all that other stuff. So.
Mayor, I just had one question. Excuse me. You have labor charges down here, but nothing specified. Do you know what that's going to be?
Probably about, $40 or so?
Yeah, right around 40.
And then what are we actually charging them for rental?
We weren't going to charge them for a rental fee. We were just going to charge them for the labor cost.
Okay. So what, do we have any sort of guidelines to who gets to use it for free then? I just always get nervous about, like, if are we setting a precedent, or if we come up with rules on the front end, then it seems like we're being more fair on the back end kind of a thing.
Right. We only were dealing in this case with the chamber and utilizing it for that project. We haven't gone beyond that and was council gives direction. We had done that before, and I wanted to make sure that we were covered.
I guess I'm just wondering, like, you know, if somebody wants to do a concert in the park or something, like, do they get to use it for free, or what sort of guidelines would we want to maybe think about for who qualifies for free use versus actual rental, or do we even do rentals, or when I say rental, I really mean more like actual payment, not just like a borrowing type. What are your thoughts?
My thought is I would like to check and see if any of the businesses do that, because I don't want to be competing with the private sector on renting those. I think in this case, it's intended to be very limited just to the chamber for the CUNA Days festivities.
I just worry about, like, I mean, you could easily make the argument, you know, well, it's a community activity. Well, wouldn't a concert or something like that be community activity too? And so therefore, why wouldn't somebody else get to use it for the same, you know, just the cost of labor setting it up? So I just wanted to make sure we're, like I said, if we can set up stuff on the front end, then it seems like we're not being arbitrary on the back end. Is that, I mean, we don't meet again until after CUNA Days happens, right? So we kind of have to do this now?
We meet on the first, don't we?
Oh, do we? Oh, yeah. I forgot what day of August started. Okay. But they probably want to know more than like 3 days ahead of CUNA Days, right?
Chris, do you know if they've offered the sponsorship of what they did last year? I know there was some consideration, but it's a little different, so I don't know if that's still been offered to the city this year.
I have bits and pieces from different inquiries, but it's my understanding that there's an external sponsor who maybe put forth actual funds to sponsor, which was why the Make-A-Wish wasn't going to work. So the city, I think last year we allowed them to use the equipment, but we were considered the sponsors of the movie night. But I understand this year that they have a full paying sponsor.
I believe that to be correct, yes.
So that's what I know.
Okay, so for clarification, we're talking about like having hosting a movie night, and it's just our equipment for that?
I'm sorry, what was your question again?
The specific equipment that they're looking to rent, because it just says this agreement covers the following rental equipment, and then there's just a big blank space. So we're actually talking about like movie night.
Right, they're wanting to use our projector equipment and our inflatable screen.
I mean, it's hard because there's nobody from the chamber here, unless you guys happen to know. But it feels like if they have a sponsor for that night, I don't want a sponsor to pay for it.
Well, that's council's decision.
I'll weigh in here a little bit for you.
Okay.
I think your argument is, or I don't want to say argument, I think your concern is very valid as far as how do we be consistent with everybody else. I do know that there are rental companies that do rent it. So I think that needs to be considered. So I think that, but do we want to also, I'm going to get a shot for this, but do we also want to even offer it to begin with? I mean, I have a hard time renting out city equipment. I don't have a problem if we can have some way where everybody has access to it, but also don't want to just allow certain people who are going to do it. So I think your concerns are very valid, and I would probably agree with all of them.
Okay.
I'm struggling because on the one hand, I'm like, we already own this stuff. Like, we host movie nights, you know, and so it's like, why make somebody else go out and buy it? But then if there's local places that rent it and it's just the same as our stuff, then why couldn't you just do that? But if nobody local has it and then it's like we're the only shop in town and it's something we already have and use for the same exact thing, like, does it make sense to just allow? I mean, on the one hand, I'm sympathetic because it's a nonprofit, but on the other hand, like, it is a CUNA Days is a money-making endeavor for them, a fundraising activity, and they have a sponsor for movie night. So,
and I think that's what helped a lot last year was the city was the sponsor. So I think the parameters have changed from last year to this year.
Well, because it's such a late date, and I don't want to put anybody in a bind. What would we think about if we asked them first if they could check with any local places that might rent it, especially if there's someplace in, like, does...
No, it's just outside.
Oh.
You're going to be Meridian or most likely Meridian, because I'm not aware of anybody in CUNA that rents it.
Okay. I mean, I think my preference would be to maybe get out. I don't know. I'm torn. I feel like maybe at a minimum we should just be charging like what any other place would charge for it, just so we can avoid the issue of like, are we playing favorites? Are we letting some people use it for free and then other people not? And how far into their financials do we want to get in terms of whether they're actually profiting from the specific thing that they're doing with it and that sort of thing? But I don't really know what a rental cost would be like, if it would be really exorbitant and the chamber would have trouble with it. Or
my guesstimate would probably be a few hundred dollars. I don't think the cost would be an issue.
But, oh, you don't think?
But I'm not speaking for the chamber, but I'm just speaking on what I know. So, but obviously, if it's thousands of dollars, my only concern is obviously I am concerned of how close it is, and I definitely don't want to price it out where it doesn't get done. So I know, but I think we need to be consistent. So it needs to be figured out. So it's a dilemma.
Council, if I might just say, we get sponsors for movie nights so that we can have carryover funds so that we can assure the next year. But also, we take those funds and we kind of maintain them as a contingency amount so that we can, repair our equipment or get new equipment. We might have exactly in that carryover enough to replace the equipment if it was broken or destroyed, but then we wouldn't have the guaranteed carryover for movie nights next year without coming back to council. So it's expensive to buy, and that's kind of where we stand as far as being able to replace it without having to come to council if something happened to it.
I have a question just to throw out here. Would council be opposed to a trade of something for the use of the equipment?
Like our membership fees?
Or I don't know about that. That's quite smart. But like a booth space? If the city wanted
a booth
space? Does
anybody from the city want to spend? Well, wait.
We just to discuss it later.
Yeah, well, no, we have a, like, are we already paying for that or our booth for the comp plan thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's supposed to be a booth.
I have that inquiry in right now to find out how much the cost is for a booth space.
All right, I like this idea. Why don't we just exchange booth for rental, and then we'll plan ahead for next year. Like, I would want to make sure we're charging, like, fair market, whatever, or something that's equally valuable to the city if that works out. But I think that's a fine idea. Cardozzi, you were going to say something, though.
Chris, is this to show movies during Canada Days? Is that the purpose of it?
Yes, it's the one they hold on Friday night.
It's just one movie, one night, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I want to say I heard that their sponsor is CapEd or something like that. So
The benefit would be the community, similar to the fireworks, basically, that we donated $5,000.
Is that correct? I think so, yes.
Okay. I wouldn't have any objection to a minimum charge if it's going to benefit the community as a whole for CUNA Days. $50 or something like that. I don't know what would be fair. What, you but said 40?
40 is the labor charge to take it over there.
To deliver it.
Yes.
It benefits the community as a whole. I don't know if I've had any. If they take responsibility of maintenance of the equipment, I don't think I'd have any problem with that.
But are we going to, anybody who wants to have a movie night, like on a different night or something, are we going to let them do it for $90?
I don't know if it's any different than sponsoring the fireworks. When it comes as an issue before the council, we make a decision on the issue itself. So I know what you're saying. We may be setting a precedent, but by the same token, if at any time it benefits the community, I don't have a problem with the city allocating a project to them. So,
would you be opposed to the trade?
Well, my understanding, it's $200 for a booth is what I was told. So,
would that, just because I like to be really specific, are we thinking the $200 would be inclusive or exclusive of the labor costs?
I can go either way.
It's not helpful.
I think there's value to, obviously we need to have the labor, we need to have the training and making sure that everything is run properly. Mm-hmm. That is definitely worth their amount. But if it makes everybody easier to do it all inclusive, I would have no problem with that. And I think that's still fair. I don't know.
I'd be agreeable with the exchange of a space then, if that would be agreeable to the chamber.
Okay, it's for the comp plan. So.
The question is, do we still maintain the $40? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, are we saying it's just a straight, they give us the booth and we give them the stuff and train it and deliver it and stuff, or are we saying it's 200 plus the labor, or the booth plus the labor, I should say?
I'd be fine with it being all inclusive.
Okay.
So the 200 would include delivery, setup, and takedown.
Okay. I think this this makes me mostly okay, I think, for this year, but then I think my preference moving forward would be to have a more like concrete plan, just so that anybody who might be interested in renting it would know what they would need to do in order to get to be able to use the equipment. So I think my preference moving forward would be like probably like fair market, like whatever it would normally cost to rent it from somebody else. But we can talk about it some more.
I'll set some parameters.
Okay.
With that, is there any objections with me representing the council's position on this to the chamber? I mean, obviously we need their okay. I don't typically see it.
I'm looking for power.
I'm looking for power, but I'm not speaking for them. But I will be at their meeting, so I will present it to them.
I think that makes sense. John, yeah. Were you going to say something?
I just wanted to interject one other idea for you when you're talking about like a swap. We also have budgeted a $1,000 annual membership to the CUNY Chamber. I don't know if you talked about that or not, but
I threw it out there as our first trade, but I got shot down.
Oh, you did? Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
Mayor, would you be opposed to that?
Okay. No, I'm not. I guess the more we talk about this, I think it might just be better for everyone involved in future years if they do just look for rental equipment.
They could build it into their sponsorship price pretty easily as long as they know about it ahead of time. Like, I just don't want to leave them an alert.
Get it from someone who is in the business of renting equipment and that type of thing so that I think our biggest concern is just the liability of the equipment being damaged somehow and that type of thing. When we have our movies in the park, we have our staff right there with the equipment, and it's at least kind of protected, and they know what to do when things go wrong. So, either way, I'm okay. Good with whatever council wants to do there.
If everybody's right, then I'll present it to them.
So do we need an official motion?
No, I'll talk to Pat, and we'll just give it down.
Okay. The terms look fine, though, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
So if anybody, I'm going to get yelled at anyways, I'll just deal with it all.
It only took 30 minutes to talk about that.
We'll make the next one quick.
Okay, update on Strobel Road property lease. Richard Groats.
Council, Mayor, thank you. Bobby received it, 5:25 p.m. today. Some amendments to the lease. It looks like one of the hangups is going to be they want us to provide an indemnity for just about anything that they do on any of the property at a $2 million versus a $1 million policy and some other minor things. So, and they did come back with a price of
$140,000, in between $140,000 and
$190,000. Nice and specific.
Probably not going to be purchasing it. We're probably going to be doing minimum maintenance out there. I don't think we can get them to agree that if we put in $30,000 and we don't lease it for a second year, that they're going to pay us the $30,000 for the improvements. So it may be that we're coming back next time saying things just didn't work out. It appeared to be a little bit difficult on that area of what they want us to provide on insurance above and beyond what might happen related to our use, but just a complete indemnity for anything on the property. So that's the update on that one.
I just one item on this, and that is I didn't see it, but I could have missed it. To the extent we do decide to purchase at some point, I mean, I see the appraisal stuff. My concern is if by our addition of like $30,000 of crushed asphalt and stuff, it ends up appraising for more, that then we've kind of screwed ourselves into paying more for the property than we normally would. So is there anything we can put in here that basically like protects us against that? So it'd be like...
Yeah, I don't think at this point we're going to be putting any crushed gravel out there or any asphalt.
Oh, it says we are.
So the discussion we had today as all this came up and those numbers were being talked about in our director's meeting was maybe because of this and the uncertainty of everything, maybe what we need to do is go in there, just level it off. You can park in the dirt. We can put up a construction fencing around with T-posts just to block it off so people know they can't go into the buildings. Just do minimal amount of work in there to make it where it's possible for people to park and kind of get in there and give them a place to park and get back out. So rather than actually providing for a really nicely groomed parking lot, it's still smoother and better than alongside the road and much safer. So that's kind of where we left it with today, but rather than spending a lot of money and putting a lot of investment in there.
Do we need to restore it to what it was like before we got in there then? I don't see that in here.
Yeah, I think the intent was that any improvements that we made, if we didn't purchase it, would go back to them. That's typically...
Do they consider, like, using it as a dirt parking lot an improvement? I just don't want them at the end of it to be like, you guys need to, like, return, you know, indigenous grasses and stuff, like, replant it in some way. So, because otherwise it's like, it's a dirt hazard or dust hazard, you know. I just didn't.
Yeah, quite frankly, I think we're so far away now from when we got the price and then the email this evening with what their requirements are going to be that I'm not sure we're even going to
do it at all.
Into anything. We may just be walking away from it.
Okay.
I say that, as you know, ICRA's not going to agree that we intend to find anything that happens on that property.
Yeah.
Our loss or their loss is what they're asking.
Okay, well, to the extent something changes and we do move forward, that would be the only other thing. I would just want there to be, like, a mutual understanding about what shape we're returning it in so we don't get surprised by, like, now they want us to, do any sort of mitigation stuff.
Okay.
Richard, I've got a question. The hold harmless they're asking from us in the general liability, is it just for the actions of the city, or are they going to hold us responsible for the general public that's using it too on our policy?
It was, as I read the sentence in the email, it's everything. It's an umbrella for anything that happens on that property, regardless of its public, city's responsibility, or their responsibility.
So, like, if they have some sort of issue in their house or, like, in the part that they're exclusively using, not us, it sounded like we would still, they're still expecting us to cover it.
So if there's vandalism done by the general public, we would be held accountable on the hold harmless.
But even beyond that, like, I mean, even if it wasn't attributable to us in any way, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do we want that much responsibility for the parking?
That's why I'm saying at this point, when I just read that before, it was almost a deal breaker.
Okay.
Maybe time just to walk away. You know, the price is one that's 60,000, 70,000 an acre. I think 10,000 is probably more realistic out there. So
maybe we could have a boss or bus and have Bobby just transport people back and forth from downtown.
I'm all for that.
It might be an option there. Every hour on the hour, have the bus going back and forth. If we could borrow one from the school district.
The liability lights are just flashing in my head so big.
Yeah, but it can't be any worse than an open clause on property that we have no control over. So.
All right, so no action from us on that one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 7F, consideration to approve resolution number R53-2017, appointing new members to the Park Impact Fee Committee, Richard Rhodes.
Mayor, Council, thank you. For the record, Richard Rhodes, before you is a resolution appointing two new members to the committee, so we're back up to state law requirements. We've had one person... deceased and one person was just not available, so we haven't been able to schedule meetings, so Bobby's come forward with the two names listed there in the first part, so I'd ask the council approve the resolution.
Okay, I move we approve resolution number R53-2017.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R53-2017. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 7G, consideration to approve resolution number R54-2017, authorizing mayor to sign Keller Associates Incorporated contract for city engineering support services. Richard Roetz.
Mayor, Council, for the record, Richard Roetz, thank you. This one's pretty self-explanatory. As you know, Mr. Conti is no longer employed with the city, so we have put out an advertisement for that position. In the interim, we need to have contract engineering services, so that's contracted before you. We received this one earlier from Keller, and then late this afternoon we received another one, but we're unable to get that on the agenda, so. Projects that we're waiting on to get done.
And so we will be coming back with the other one when, so if Keller and Associates are doing a project out here, they can't sign their own engineering stuff, so we'll have to have at least the second one for whenever that overlap occurs, but like he said, that didn't get in until late, so. So we just need this one now to keep moving forward with a couple of projects.
Mayor,
yes.
I've got a question. There's some engineers on 4th Street almost by Linder, a local firm. They're on the south side of 4th just before you hit Linder. Do you know who I'm talking about, Lisa? Are they qualified for a city? I just wonder why we're not doing local business with them.
I don't know if they're more of a civil or like a structural engineer company, that type of thing, maybe. Otherwise, I would assume they would have contacted us, but we can certainly check into it.
Yeah. Transportation.
Okay.
I'm just curious why we weren't allocating that money locally. So, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor, I said one question.
Yes.
And maybe, John, you can answer this. I would assume we can transfer the money out of the current position that is not filled at this time to cover these expenses. Is that what the intent is? And do we need to do anything to recognize that, or do you need anything from us to do that if that is the intent?
Councilmember Jones, I think we're okay as far as overall budget. We've budgeted for, as you mentioned, a personnel position. Position's no longer being utilized, and so those funds would be used to cover the cost of the contract services. They'll come out of different general ledger accounts, but it's just a swap. So okay. I think to answer your question, we're okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I move we approve resolution number R54-2017.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R54-2017. All those in favor, is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 8A, fiscal year 2018 all funds budget presentation. John Marsh.
Sorry about that. You want me to start over? I think the best way to approach is just start back with the general fund. And it's the same thing you saw before, last council meeting. Nothing's changed other than the items we talked about. There was a personnel change in the budget numbers. And the one other thing that did change is the proposed or forecasted reserve balances that we had forecasted, or I had forecasted before. Those dropped from about $1.8 million to $1.5 million. And that's simply just a calculation issue. So it's more accurate now. Still a good position, just less money. So I suppose what it boiled down to is where we left off last time, is there were a series of items that were planned in the budget. And those listed were listed on your page one and slopped over into page two on your general fund worksheet. And those were your major items, and they are in the budget, the forecasted budget. And so when we factor all that in and the forecasted revenues without property taxes, without a change in property tax levy, it puts you at a deficit of $503,984. So where we left off is discussion on any of those items, those major items, how to fund them with a variety of options, one being either to kind of triage some of those items and maybe push them off, or to increase the property tax levy, and also to quite possibly use some of your reserve funds to cover those. And so looking at page three of your general fund item, or excuse me, page two, you have available to you an additional $266,046 in property tax levy over and above last year. So that would be the maximum amount that you could levy. In addition, you can use any or all of your projected carryover, your projected reserve balance, which is $1,547,347. And just for relevance, the forecasted impact on each $100,000 of taxable value with that property tax levy is approximately $22 a year. And so that's kind of where we left off, and I just opened it up to discussion with council, and if there's any questions or any pet items or items that you're not happy with.
John, I just have a question for you. If we were to take all the expenditures, we would be in the red, if you want to call it, approximately, what, $504,000?
Yeah, five, exactly, yeah.
That 504 would have to come out of that 1.5, so that would drop us down to somewhere around a million for leftovers contingency. Is that correct?
Exactly. If you left everything in there and did nothing else with property taxes, you're exactly right, yes. And within that number, within those expenditure numbers are again, as you're, I'm sure, aware, there are ongoing items that are added. There's a police budget increase. There's some personnel increases, and those are ongoing. And so the use of reserve funds is really one-time money. And so you got to kind of find a way to balance that out, either by reducing or finding another source of ongoing revenue, which at this point, the only source is property tax revenue.
And if I recall, the annexation and new construction was roughly 110, 115, something like that?
Yeah, I can reel off the options to you. So you have available a maximum of 3%, what the county calls it, or the code calls a 3% increase over the prior 3 years, and that amounts to $62,013. New construction roll amounts to $141,977. The annexation roll amounts to $4,486, and the foregone levy amount is $57,570, and the total of those is $266,046. And so just for comparison purposes, as I was speaking about the ongoing expenditures, the increase in just one item, the sheriff's budget, is $290, and so just gives you an idea of the complexity.
So, I mean, automatically, even if we were to take all that, we're still $250,000 short that we would have to take out of contingency to meet the current requested budget.
Exactly. And the numbers include, from 2006, the unspent monies in the capital projects fund, which is $26,000 and some change, as well as an estimated or forecasted $57,000 from the current year that is estimated to not be spent. We have to bring those back to the general fund as they're unassigned to a project.
Mayor, I had a question for you.
Okay.
Previously, we've never, I think, have had to take the 3% and the foregone at the same time. Is there, you don't have any concern if we had to do that this year to take both of them, that we would not have the foregone to as a reserve for next year if something happens, so that we would actually have no leftover remaining carryover?
I thought we did take them both. Like, At least since I've been on council.
Yeah, we had ones, yes. No, because, I mean, it's there to take, and if we've already taken it, then there's really not a, I mean, it's like we've already taken it, so.
Do we not have that available now? I guess I'm not understanding.
Yeah, we have in recent years taken both, I think the year that we were going to go for the recreation district, we skipped one. Yep. And so that one's been carrying over each year. But if we do take both this year, then that adds into our budget next year and the year after and the year after that. So it doesn't concern me to not leave some in foregone amount because we're actually receiving it then. So.
And at that point, though, we do take all of it, we would not have a foregone option next year, then we would only have the 3%.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Greg? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm not sure what to think yet. I'm still thinking about
That's
it.
Okay.
I have a couple questions. So I noticed, let's see, let me go back. On page 7 of the general budget, under miscellaneous admin, the specific line item I'm looking at is 016160. I see we budgeted the same amount, $24,443, last year, but only actually spent under $1,500. And it looks like every year prior to that, we've never spent more than $1,500. Can you tell me what would go into that and why we would need like $25,000?
Sure, very good question. Last year was the first year, we budgeted basically paying back the city's reserves for the acquisition of the city hall. So
is this listed in two spots then?
No, it's actually in the budget. I just called it out on your first page so you know what one of the major items is.
Okay.
So in essence, the way it works is, we budget that in as an expenditure, but it doesn't get spent. So it just rolls over into your carryover, your reserve balances.
Okay.
And I believe, I don't know, I could be wrong, I think Councilmember Jones had talked about that amount at the last meeting and about a potentially reserving that for a park equipment, kind of like the sinking fund for the restrooms. But basically what that is last year was the first year, and you'll see the same thing in the other funds as well, the water, sewer, and irrigation.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. And then on the next page 8, this will be line item 6175-1003, small tools. Just looked like for the last many years we've not spent more. Well, I guess this past year we spent almost $4,000, but generally we seem to be pretty close to $3,500, but we're budgeting just over $11,000.
And so those items are broken out on your first page. And so I'll read off what they consist of.
The very first page or which?
Yeah, page 1 on general fund. So when we look under planning and zoning, there are two additional ArcGIS licenses. And those are $4,600.
Okay.
And there's iWork Community Development. It's an additional module for their kind of their ERP system. And that's $1,650. And then over and above what is generally in there, and this time that what else is in there, just a few replacement PCs for existing staff, and I believe that's it.
Okay, but the PCs aren't on the first page, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was thrown by the idea that those are small tools.
Yeah, anything that's got longevity that doesn't necessarily meet the $5,000 threshold is tracked as a small tool.
John, I have a question for you. On the water fund, on page 5. How did our contingency grow from $120,000 to $2.8 million?
And I'm not looking at it right here, but historically what has happened is the entire amount of the reserve balance in the enterprise funds hasn't been brought forward and budgeted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember that now. It used to be listed as a cash flow.
So historically, what you've always had is you've had all these reserves, but they've never been put into the budget and kind of sitting on the sidelines. What I'm doing now is placing everything out there so you see exactly what you have in total.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
We are setting funds aside that we use to allocate the building here of City Hall. Is that right?
We had talked about that when we did this, and it was mentioned that we should put that into a separate line item, although we haven't decided what exactly to do with those funds in that line item yet. The original discussion was to use it to build back contingency, but if there's another project you want to do.
Well, because we paid cash for the building, we're no longer making monthly rental. I wonder if the, and I'm sure there's not a hurry, if we could take the 175 that we've allocated for the downtown Ada County property, if that can be maybe tabled until we've built that account up enough to buy that. Was that fund specifically allocated as a line item for any purchase or a specific purchase?
I don't recall that we did. I think it was just suggested that we put it into a line item, and that's kind of where we've left it. We have, I think even the last meeting we were talking about doing something more for playground equipment or something with that funding, but it still is entirely up to council. We haven't dedicated it towards anything that I'm aware of.
Another question I have is two truck-mounted snow plows units. What would they be used for? Just city property, or would we use that for Ada County helping them?
Those would be to help assist with what we did again last year.
We have another snowmageddon.
If we were to have that same situation. Actually, last year, had we had the pickup-mounted snowplows, we could have gotten in and kept the streets a little cleaner before they got frozen up and created ruts, and it just would have been a faster way of doing that. I guess the hope is that we would buy two of those, and they would sit there and rust, and we'd never need them. But
that's what I was worried about. I guess my question is, since we are allocating our labor and equipment for Ada County, would they have the availability of us borrowing some pickup snow plows from them? And
not if another situation like what happened, I don't think.
Okay.
Because I think it was, Bob, you can probably speak to it, but I feel like it was all hands on deck. They were just like trying to go as fast as they can and do as much as they could and just were failing utterly.
Yeah, they actually leased out every piece of equipment in the valley last year.
Okay. And they actually had a few pieces of equipment that they'd kind of mothballed that they brought out and resurrected to help them get through the situation. So there was nothing left available anywhere. So
last question I have is the Fleet new building inspector pickup. We had asked the chief if there was allocation of a vehicle that we might be able to have that was four-wheel drive for our building inspector. Now that you've asked for a rate increase, let's have a little give and take here.
So. No pressure, right? Yeah. So the sheriff definitely takes that consideration and understands the need. And right now, because what I understand from what Bob said is that the request is for a Tahoe or truck type, something that can get in and out of job sites for the inspector to use. Right now, we have it's in the plans. We want to give you a Crown Victoria. I know that's not going to help. So the shop is in the process right now of getting it painted. It's one in good shape and everything, but the Tahoes that we thought would potentially be available are now, we're using them for our emergency vehicle operations. They're also going to be backup cars.
cars for the fleet, and so they're trying to trade out all the Crown Vics that are getting too old to be even a backup Code 3 response type vehicle.
Okay.
So that kind of came up. Sorry, that was unexpected. So the answer is no on that. But a Crown Vic is coming.
Are they painting it metal flakes so it'll be sparkly?
They haven't painted it yet, so if you have a request, let us know.
So we're going to have to play hardball now.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I guess a Crown Vic would be okay in the summer, but I would think in the winter you would want traction. Of course, we got snow plows to keep the roads open for the building inspector.
All right, Councilman Cardoza, the biggest issue is hauling around ladders, that kind of stuff. If we have to, we try to keep a ladder with us. Not saying that we couldn't make it work, but it's not the preferred.
Maybe a safety issue with the ladder. Okay. That's all I had, Mayor.
Joe. Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes.
I guess just to piggyback on the Tahoe thing, I do have some concerns about that because, to my knowledge, I mean, we're paying for a new car this year, I think. Am I remembering correctly that that's in the budget?
Yeah, I believe they've changed that to a lease format where it is the cost of the vehicles are for every vehicle needed. It's a flat rate, including fuel, maintenance, and prorates out, it's about $16,000 a year, I believe.
Okay. Because I guess where I'm going with this is, it's my recollection that in prior years, we've just paid the cost of a vehicle, but built into our contract is also all the maintenance costs on that, everything. So if the city of CUNA has fully paid for the vehicle, we paid for it to come off the lot, we paid for it to, you know, we paid for the fuel and everything year after year, why at the end of the vehicle's usefulness does now it suddenly not belong to us if we've paid 100% of the costs that whole time? I think that's what I struggle with, that then we would, I mean, because we've gotten, I think, one car ever, at least in my, like, 10-year experience.
It's a very good question. And I think it begs a whole nother discussion, everything from, you know, to get officers, for example, that come to the city. It's a 10-week academy. There's another 12 to 16 weeks of training. And so we don't charge for that, and typically the police department would be charged for all those times, you know, all those months of training for both the training officer and for the deputy, even their post-academy time. So I think this is something that the sheriff's trying to change that so there's not those hard feelings. And so I think you'll see now, I'm not sure if it was this year or last year, where it is a lease per year per vehicle.
I appreciate the change to try to deal with the issue, but
yes.
I still have some angst about the fact that we've paid for numerous vehicles over the years, and we don't, at the end of the day, the sheriff's department gets to keep those and do whatever they want with them, and then we're, like, begging for scraps and getting cars we don't need.
Yes, I definitely understand your concern, and I wish I had a better answer for you. In the end, I'd have to, I guess, fall back on the fact that just the overall cost for the sheriff's office for the level of service that you get, you know, per resident. I think we're the best in the state, hands down.
Oh, I don't disagree at all. But we are also paying the same cost that anybody else who contracts with you guys would pay, and that sort of thing. I mean, people get paid the same whether they work in the city of CUNA or whether they work, you know, somewhere else in Ada County Sheriff. So it's not like it, you know,
yes.
We're paying the same as everybody else for the service.
Correct, and you know, I think that the sheriff is on an as-needed basis. It's depending on where our situation is. He wants to, if that's something that he can do, he definitely wants to do that this year. Unfortunately, the EVOC the backup cars for, it was just a decision they made. Our shop has to take care of, I think, 260 vehicles, and so it unfortunately didn't work out this year. I was really trying to lobby as well, and it just didn't work out, and it is something they try to be fair between the other cities as well. We're not giving this, as far as I know, I don't think the other two cities are getting anything this year.
Is there any room for, like, if we don't, I don't know if we even,
I haven't asked Joe, but what if we don't want a Crown Vic? Is there any way to say, like, no thanks, but put us at the top of the list for a Tahoe next year or something like that?
Yeah, you know, I'd be more than happy to bring that up. That's something that I asked. I asked our shop manager, and I could bring that to his boss, who's the director of administrative services, and the sheriff, and it certainly seems reasonable.
Okay, because I mean, I defer to staff, obviously, but rather than like pay to maintain a car that we're not really going to use very much, my preference would be to see if we can get priority consideration for a different vehicle that we would want, if that's an option. So, but I'll defer to staff and have Joe maybe give you the final word on that if there's a need to discuss it.
And there was still a slight chance that there was going to be another vehicle that would work, whether a four-wheel drive or a higher two-wheel drive truck type vehicle. I just, at this point, I can't commit anything. So we're still looking at some options.
Okay.
It isn't completely dead. It just officially it is, but we might. Again, he has a huge
pull
fleet.
Rabbit out of
has
it.
A huge fleet, and cars get wrecked and things happen literally by the week. So.
Yeah. Bob,
It's not as big a deal to be four-wheel drive as it is to be an SUV or even a two-wheel drive truck at work, if that helps that situation at all.
Okay.
Four-wheel drive is not necessarily a game changer.
It's mostly just we want, like, a lot of cargo space to haul. A ladder is, like, the biggest dimension thing, but stuff like that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe the mayor needs to remind Dave Case that we pay taxes to the county, and then we pay out of the general fund for the police on top of the taxes sometimes. So there's kind of a double whammy there. So.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard about the Crown Vic thing until just now, so I didn't know about that. But
you guys can chat about it offline.
Yeah.
If you will.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to follow up on the acquisition of City Shop Yard, because I remembered we talked about that just briefly last time, that we were exploring other options, including like swap stuff. How comfortable do you feel with pulling it, because we might do a swap thing? Or do you feel like it's pretty important to leave that amount in?
I think it's more realistic that we'll end up purchasing it.
Oh.
Just because the property they want, they asked for 20 acres for 2.6
acres.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
And I went back to them and asked them if they can look at that front 3 acres, which we've already decided wasn't really usable for us anyway. So they went ahead and ordered an appraisal of their property to further the discussion. But my guess would be it would most likely will be just purchasing that.
Okay. Am I remembering correctly, though, that we thought we would need to rebuild the shop anyway?
Yes. The funds that were requested were building a new shop.
Okay.
So purchasing the land this year with the money that we already had for this 2017 budget, and then the additional funds that go into the new budget were to build a new shop.
And what's our cost if we're just renting or leasing, whatever you want to call it?
What was it, $550 a month, I think, is what the rent is on the 480.
I mean, how terrible would it be to just, I mean, because that's a pretty huge difference if we're talking like under $6,000 a year or $175,000. How terrible would it be to just keep leasing it if we can't end up working out a swap type thing?
The biggest issue with that is just space moving forward. We're just filling up every corner we have. We're just, if you go to the shop downtown, we're just out of room everywhere. That's the biggest problem. They won't let us build anything on it if we're leasing it. I mean, we might be able to renegotiate that lease to where we could build on it if we would want to. The biggest problem is just space. We're just running out of space.
Interior space.
Yeah. I mean, what do we feel like the likelihood is of being able to is the lease for the whole 2.3 acres, or is it just for the shop?
The whole thing.
Okay. So, I mean, what are we thinking the likelihood would be of being able to renegotiate a lease, especially if we can say, like, if they decide they need the property back and they, you know, they need to end our lease, we could, like, remove whatever addition we added completely, or else it becomes their property or something like that? I mean,
Haven't had that conversation, but I can definitely talk to Lori at ACHD and okay. See how they feel about something like that.
I'm just thinking, I mean, for how much over we are, it makes me nervous about spending like a third of our whole contingency before we even start the year. So I would feel a lot more comfortable if we could like lease for at least another year or so. I mean, if we can work out a property swap, that seems ideal for both of our needs. But if that doesn't work out, I think I'd much rather pay like $8,000 or $10,000 to build a little shop on there and just keep leasing, and then figure out if we need to take it down, you know, at some point and relocate it, or if it just, that's the price of doing business, they keep it. I mean, I'd rather we get to just break it down and put it somewhere else, but if that's possible. I don't want to put you guys in a bind, or like I want you to be honest in terms of like, it really doesn't seem like it's going to work out, or, you know, it's maybe doable.
I kind of think, so where we're at is if we did the property swap for the 3 acres that he was talking about,
yeah.
That's part of our 20 acres, there really is no services there, and there's no services going to be there anytime in the near future. So the value of that 3 acres is much less than the value of this 3 acres with a shop on it. So our credit on that would be $15,000 maybe to swap off the 3 acres, and that maybe $20,000 at best. I don't know, but I think we'd still be looking at a substantial investment. And then, I mean, I don't know what that ties us up into on the 20 acres if we swap out 3 of it, or,
yeah.
or how that actually works. So it kind of looked like the easiest way out of this was just to purchase that property with the shop on it. The shop that's on there we can use for storing some equipment in, and then we can actually build a shop that they can actually function in and do maintenance in. And
I mean, this probably violates procurement rules or budgeting stuff, but have we talked to them at all about whether they'd be interested in, like, a multi-year, like, a lease to own, or even, like, a, we're going to buy it, but we're going to pay you for it over a couple of years, or anything like that?
I have not talked to them about that. Basically, just through the two options, purchasing it outright or trading some sort of property for it. That's the only discussions we've had at this point.
Okay.
Mayor, I might make a suggestion. Ada County Highway District, if we're looking to put a building on the property, owns 2 or 3 acres on Deer Flat. I think it's east of the milk barn there on the corner, but it's before you get to the new building. If we're looking for raw land with a proximity downtown, that property might be available too through Ada County. They had talked about making it a park and ride.
Right.
We never came to an agreement, so they pulled it off the table. And at last I heard, they still have ownership of that. If we're going to put a building, maybe it'd be cheaper to buy raw land and then put the building on it. It's still close to downtown to a certain degree. So
you're talking right by Ridley's?
Mm-hmm. It would be west of Wrigley's on Deer Flat.
Yeah, it's not even an acre.
I thought it was 2 or 3 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think it's a pretty small
piece. It's 0.9 acres.
I don't remember. I know there's one there, but I don't remember how big it is.
Okay.
Mayor, Bob, have you looked at any of the other properties that we currently own that would anything be feasible to build up? I mean, obviously, locale is important. But have you looked at any of that to see using already existing land that we own?
Councilman Jones, that is a good question. I think the biggest reason for the ACHD lot is the location. It's centrally located for anybody that breaks anything. It's easy to get access to it. We have looked at some other properties, and right downtown, I just don't think we have anything. You know, Bobby can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't see anywhere else we could put it that has services to it, for one, and it's centrally located. When we were had the maintenance shop out at the other out at the North Treatment Plant, it was just costing so much labor and lost time driving that far out to work on something that, you know, should be worked out right downtown. That was the biggest problem with that, is just how far away it is, and I can't, like I said, if Bobby knows another spot we haven't looked at, I can't think of another place more centrally located.
I can think of one. I know this is like a really terrible time to bring it up in the budget thing, but we should think about talking to the Grange. Because that whole big backyard, since it hasn't had, since the pressure irrigation line got bent like years ago from a city truck over there, is what I'm told. There hasn't been pressure irrigation out there, and so like nothing, like they have to mow it constantly, and it's really difficult with all the older members and stuff. And so it's not, I mean, it's not used for anything. And if we're already going to be in that area to run lines down to the splash pad, like it might be a perfect time to pipe anything else we might need right there if they wanted to like sell the backyard area.
Honestly, I think we did look at that. It's just too small. It's
how big of a shop do you need?
Well, it's much more than the shop. It's all the gravel storage, all the equipment storage, trying to get everything in a chain link area, all the equipment, and we got to be able to store sand, gravel, Bobby's bark, topsoils, all that kind of stuff. So it's more than just the immediate need for a shop. It's the entire picture of what do we do with that stuff. Right now what we do when we need it, we drive and go get it. So we could take 4, 5, 6 trips into town to get topsoil or 3/4 or whatever, because we don't have a real good place to keep an inventory. So that's kind of the bigger picture of this is just being more efficient on what we're doing. I just don't think that spot would be big enough. I mean, we can look at it again and lay out a building on it and see how much footprint is left.
You might think about it just because, I mean, I've been a Grange member for quite a long time, and it doesn't seem – we certainly never use it. So I think for – I mean, if it was getting a little money for it, I think they'd be pretty open to it. But.
Okay. We'll take a look at it and see what size that is and stuff. And
how come Bobby gets to own the bark?
Hey, Bob. Obviously, there's a need for this, but I mean, what type of time frame are you looking to have this done? I mean, if we continue to lease and we can't build, we're not solving our problem. So, how do we? When does this problem need to be solved? In what time frame?
I would ask maybe that if I could take you guys all over there and show you what we're doing right now to accommodate our needs. It's very difficult. Could we get by another year? We would figure it out. It's very tight quarters over there. It's just, I don't know, maybe it might be best if it's a possibility of if you guys have any interest in going over there. And it's very clean and organized, but it's still just no room. We're getting a lot of very expensive and nice equipment that probably needs to be stored indoors during the winter. We do have the lean-to over there. It covers some of it, but not all of it. My biggest concern is just the longevity of the equipment and being able to, you know, have adequate room to work. Would we figure it out? Yeah. We definitely do need it, though. If it was to be approved, if I'm understanding your question, we would probably build it as soon as possible.
Well, I guess my concern is if we delay it, then, I mean, we're just delaying the inevitable. I think at some point it's got to be done. And I mean, is this something that we could buy the property and build this year and then build the, because I mean, obviously you're looking at $300,000 for the whole project. I mean, that land over there, I know the land next to it is only assessed about $120,000. But if we were to, you know, spend $150,000, $170,000 to buy the property this year or coming fiscal year, and then put the building on the following year to split that up. Is that something that is doable? I mean, obviously, if we don't do anything, you're going to have nothing. But
so, wait, can you clarify? Is the $175,000 just to purchase the land, and then there's so it's fully loaded? Okay.
It's actually $300,000 for the whole thing, but this $175,000 is coming out of the general fund. There's money coming out of the sewer funds to make the $300,000 total. Is that correct?
No. So. There was, I believe, $160,000 allocated to purchase that property this year, and the additional money was to build the shop and the approach into it for the next budget. So, John can correct me if I'm wrong, but that was how I had presented it, is to purchase the land this year with $160,000, and then to build the shop, I budgeted $350,000, which One option would be to reduce the size of it and build it to where we can add on to it over the next 5 or 6 years or 3 or 4 years. Just make it expandable. Maybe start out at a 3,000 square foot shop instead of the one I bid was 7,000 square feet for $350,000, which is $50 a foot, which is pretty reasonable. So one option would be to decrease the size of it to save some money and then just build it to where we can add on to it easily in the future and use the existing shop for equipment storage in the winter.
So to summarize, if we were to remove it from next fiscal year, we're just removing the shop. We're not removing the land because we're trying to purchase that this year with the money that we allocated for this year.
Correct.
And they are having that appraised now, so we don't know exactly what that cost is, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to be.
There actually is an even better location, but I don't think it's going to be a popular one, and that would be the parking lot behind Napa Auto Parts by the senior building. But I don't think
we want city equipment stored right in the middle of downtown. I think we're better to stay on the outskirts, so we're not having to look at stuff like that right in the heart of the city.
John, are you looking for any decisions tonight on this general fund or the budget? Or what is your guidance tonight?
Well, so we've got two options. We can come to a conclusion tonight and set a tentative budget, which would allow us to proceed with our public hearing on finalizing the budget in mid-August. Or we can set an additional night between now and the first meeting in August for a dedicated budget workshop. So it would be something outside of a regular city council meeting. So it's kind of up to council. If there's more time that's needed, we're certainly just going to have to set up an additional workshop night.
If we were to go with everything on page one of the general fund fiscal year 2018, we show a shortage of $503,000 approximately. If we do the maximum taxation, that would take another $266 back. We would still have a deficit of $237,000, and in the downtown would be an additional $279,000. We would have a deficit of $516,000, not counting the COLA that the sheriff's department may request.
For all intents and purposes, that's really close. I believe the downtown revitalization, the entire $270,000 wasn't going to the general fund. I think $111,000 was allocated. So okay. Take off $167,000. So you're about $300,000 or $400,000.
About $400,000 then is our net deficit.
Yeah. So what that would do is that would reduce your projected
contingency
reserves
from 1.8 down to 1.4.
That should be 1.5 down to about 1.1. Yeah.
Okay. What does the council want to do? Do we want to discuss this or have a special meeting?
I think I'd rather just go ahead and discuss it if we're ready to.
And if it helps, we have the additional funds to go behind the general fund. I don't anticipate them being as difficult. They're a little more straightforward. They don't involve property tax decision. But for the most part, they all kind of feed, if you will, off the general fund. So once you have that, it should go a little quicker.
I know in the past we've taken the material expenses and on a descending order. We've taken each issue all the way down, and I don't know how many there are, probably 25. Does the council want to take each one of those individually for discussion or pull out what any one of us or collectively all of us look at and want pulled out?
Maybe if everybody wants to just kind of go down the list and check off which ones you're interested in
discussion,
then we can make sure we hit them all as we go.
Go ahead.
going down the list, does any council person have a specific one they'd want to bring up for discussion then?
I guess I'll go ahead and ask about the economic development coordinator new hire expenditures one. Is that like a slush fund?
Yeah, I can give you the detail on what that's comprised of. You'd like read that off you. It's sure. Really just some operating expenses. So like a computer, office chair, some advertising costs, some dues and memberships, some training, things of that nature. Just kind of a conglomerate of those kind of things.
At the risk of being really nitpicky, dues and memberships, are there things that we're not already members of that this person would be a member of?
I wish I could get into that detail. I don't know okay. The numbers. I think Wendy was generated those okay. numbers.
And then training, I mean, if we're, I know it's fully loaded, but if we're paying this person like 80 grand a year, I would hope we wouldn't have to send them to a bunch of training right away. Like yeah. My expectation was that it would be somebody who was already trained in that. Do we have any, I mean, I don't know how much of it is training. Maybe it's not going to help that much. But
let me read it off to you real quick, okay. And that'll give you an idea. And then give me just one second here.
Can I just ask you one question while you're looking that up?
Sure.
I assume this line item, comprehensive plan rewrite, fiscal year 17 unspent carried forward. I mean, it's showing as an expenditure, but technically, like, it would otherwise be in the carryover?
Yeah, so what...
Or it's
what,
in both places, I guess, technically?
Yeah, so what's happened is we budgeted in the current fiscal year $160,000 for mm-hmm. that. The total cost came in a little bit more, the anticipated cost for the contract. However, they're only going to, this is going through like 2018, all actually into October of 18, so it spans three fiscal years. And so what we did is we projected what's going to be expended this year, took that the rest of that budget out, transferred it to carryover, and then budgeted the remainder into next fiscal year.
So, so we can look at it as like a zero sum sort of? I mean, it's like it's funds that we are rolling over from 17 into 18.
Yeah, yeah, yep, exactly. Yep.
But they're part of the 1.5 starting, correct? Is that correct, John?
I'm sorry.
They're inside that 1.5 starting.
Yeah. So it's not additional. It's already factored.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really just something you already budgeted for. We're not going to spend a portion of it. It's been transferred over this year and then spent or projected to be spent.
I'll bring up one item.
Hang on, he's still going to read the thing.
Oh, sorry.
About the training, right?
Yeah, we're almost there.
While the council is looking at section 2 on page 1, you might want to look at section 3 on page 2. If there is an item you might want to substitute into section 2 and maybe take something out of section 2 to compensate for section 3, so it would be a good time to bring it up at this time.
You want to read that?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, office supplies, $1,750. Training and schooling, $1,500. Small tools, $2,000. Signage, $300. Meetings and committees, $1,100. Travel is... 1,100, same number. Dues and memberships, 650. Legal publications, 5,000. And that's it.
wish I knew what the training and schooling was. Do you have any idea, Joe?
How much was the training on?
Did you say 1,500, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for training and schooling.
Yeah, I really couldn't answer that exactly.
All right, you're up, Pat.
John, regarding the City Hall acquisition reserve of the $24,443, being that we have not spent that this year to date, and I don't know if there's any plan or consideration to spend that from this year, is that $24,000, is that rolled into the 1.5?
Yeah, correct. It is, yeah.
I mean, my feeling on that line item is I'd like to use it for something. I don't want it to keep carrying over the reserve replenishment. Whether or not we have to use all of it, but I think there's some other stuff that I know that we've talked about. You know, I talked about the playground equipment. I know Bobby's got that down here under the considered. I mean, I don't know if you know, giving them $20,000 this year to spend, and then taking that 24 and changing it to 20 for that, and putting the other $4,000 back in. I know it's pennies on the overall, but I don't like the idea of having it as a reserve replenishment, especially when we talked about from the very beginning of doing something with it. So I don't know what others are feeling on that, but. I mean, I'd like to give it back to something that benefits everybody, so.
Okay. I mean, if you want, we can talk to Bobby about some ideas on park stuff and that and bring it back to council.
I thought those funds were strictly for acquisition of land when we set it aside. I may have misunderstood it, but I...
No, that's just the park impact fees. That one, we just decided to set it aside. And originally, the discussion was to build up the contingency fund that we wore down by buying the building.
Right.
And then we never did really come back with anything permanent and solid to use the funds for. So we just kept them in a separate line item just because that discussion had happened. So we didn't pull them out of that.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be opposed to using it as a sinking fund or something, but I just would rather reassign that to a different description somehow.
You see, I always thought that since we use it for land acquisition of City Hall, that and I thought it was you that actually said it, Pat, that the money would be used for replenishment, but basically for land acquisition such as the city shop yard. At 175 is what I thought that was.
And that's very possible. I just know that we've never done that officially.
Okay.
So that's where I'm looking for something to do, something official to resolve that, to put that money to use.
Okay, let me ask you this. Since you were the one that actually asked for the reserve replenishment fund, do you want to make a motion as to where those funds would go then? Or do you want to discuss that with the mayor to see where he might like it to go?
I have no issue with either way. I think if we're buying that property for the ACHC, or I shouldn't say, we're considering the buying of that property for this year, we would not need that for a property acquisition for that specific property. And being that we can buy a lot of properties or parks that are that we can take care of with some of the impact fee, that's why I was thinking of doing something with the parks that we cannot service with the impact fee that we're lacking a little bit on.
Well, that would actually be a good thing to use that on if council wanted to, would be playground equipment in. Upgrade some of the playground equipment in Burning Fisher Park and some of the others around here that we can't use the impact fees on because there isn't any really growth in those areas. And And again, it's kind of open to whatever your discretion is. If you want to make purchases like that, we can certainly do that.
Does other council members have any objections to doing that? Or would like something different?
A pizza party?
I'm fine with that. The one thing I was going to mention is, you know, in reading the email from the Humane Society, I thought it made sense. It said we account for I'm going to lie if I don't read it exactly.
Yeah, I think they wanted to get us up to that 4%.
We represent 4% of the population that the Humane Society serves, and we have had between 4.3 and 5.4% of we comprise that much of their service calls over the last 3.5 years, and our total portion of the contract payments is 3.5%. I'm not totally clear if that 3.5% was pre or post $5,000. Do you know?
I think $5,000 was a random number that they gave John for the moment over the phone. So I can't tell you what percentage that actually even is. I don't think there was any real discussion other than they said, well, just make it 5,000.
Yeah.
I believe it was
pretty basic.
Well, I'm not seeing the attachment, if there was one on there. And it mentioned the attachment was the summary of animal control contracts by municipality. In any case, I mean, that sounded inherently reasonable if we're actually paying for less of the contract than what we comprise of their service calls. So I was just going to follow up on the $5,000 increase, because again, I don't know that I have a clear answer about whether we're just allowed to say no and then continue to still get services from them. That's the main thing I'm concerned about. So I was going to ask to add that $5,000 back in. So with that in mind, I didn't know if you would want to balance a little bit by having like $20,000 go to playground equipment, and then the rest would mostly cover the increase in, or if you were just wanted to add the $5,000 on top of that expenditure, or if anybody else had thoughts on the $5,000.
I think on the $5,000, I think I have the same concerns that you have. I still don't understand why we have the complaints that we do regarding the them getting out here and stuff like that. I would have been nice to be able to ask them personally, but I have no problem taking the $24,000, making it $20,000, adding the $5,000 back in. I would like to take that $24,000 from this year though and let it be spent this year too, but that would also decrease our.
You're saying like what we budgeted for 2017 that hasn't yet rolled over?
Yeah, use that. Go ahead and use that this year, and then next year we'll budget $20,000 for playground equipment, and then use the other $5,000 for the at this just for the 1 year. And obviously, we can change it every year, or you guys can change, or whoever can change it in the future.
Can you spend that much this year, or should we plan to roll it over and then allocate? You know what I'm saying?
I can totally spend
$25,000 in the next 2 months.
Yes, we can do that. So yes, that is possible.
I might make mention that I think the mayor and Chief John is not real happy with the Humane Society and their response. So are we rewarding them $5,000 for their slow response? I think we're seeing more of our police officers doing Humane Society work. I understand, John, because their lack of coming out quickly and efficiently is the problem. So I don't know if we should reward them with a $5,000 bonus. So
I think Breonna has a valid concern. I think that Chief and I had just kind of started these discussions, so we don't know where they're going or what they would turn into. So if it is the if that's what council wants to do, we can go ahead and add that 5,000 in, and then we'll get a little more aggressive with figuring out exactly what we need to do to create the level of service that we feel that we need out here. And I mean, they're basically the Humane Society and Animal Control, they're understaffed. So
yeah.
There's just no way that they're going to get enough people to enough calls to always address the issues. And obviously that's our issues is when they can't, then the police have to. And so I think we're just new enough into this and we really haven't dug deep into it. So I don't know if Chief has anything you want to add to that, but perhaps maybe your concern is valid and we should address that first and then we can.
Yeah, the only thing, Mayor, the only thing I would add is what Councilman Jones and Councilman Cardozo are alluding to, and that is just, it would have been nice to have that conversation to talk about, you know, the 1 year or the 1 month that we looked at pretty closely. I think they came out 29 times, and we dealt with them 13 different times. So there's times we have, you know, one to three animals in our pen. And because we handled the call, all I had to do was come out and pick up the animal. And so it'd be nice to have some kind of shared credit service. So, you know, if that's a half or a third of the calls we end up handling and they just come pick up the dog, then maybe that we can get some credit back. And that's the only discussion that we just didn't have the time with that $5,000 is there any way to have that talk?
I would love that. I'm totally supportive of that and certainly trying to see, I mean, I'm not saying, like, let's shift more work to you guys, but certainly if they can appreciate the reduction in the need for their services by some of the extra stuff we do, I think it's totally valid to say, like, a shared services credit or something like that, ask for that and see if we can trend it back down if at all possible.
What do we pay in Humane Society now without the 5,000?
$56,000 a year, something like that.
Sorry.
I'm going to grab my form real quick.
I appreciate you guys' patience. I know you're waiting for us, so I do appreciate that. Thank you.
This is... <It's> riveting.
Okay, so right now we're at $61,465 without the 5,000.
So we'll be at almost 67,000.
Correct.
I mean, potentially we have room. I don't know if you saw that email, but it looks like they have different. I'll mention this when Joe comes back in too. They have different kind of setups with different cities. So, like for some of the cities, they remit the impound fees back to the cities, and for others, they keep the impound fees. And then, you know, sometimes they do different things with the license fees or the fines and different things like that. So, I mean, we could certainly talk to them about modifying those sorts of things as well. But I mean, I have to take their word for the fact that we are. Our portion of the total contract payments is less than the portion of calls for service we currently comprise. So I don't feel like they're just taking us for a ride or anything. I mean, could the services be better? Sure. But I mean, we could pay more for them, too, if we wanted them to be better. I just don't think we could replicate what we get from them on our own. I mean, we would have to have our own shelter. We would have to pay numerous people to run it. We would have to... I mean, if we're disappointed with their responsiveness for calls for service, we would have to employ probably more than one animal control officer and so on and so forth, get land, build a facility. Like, the costs, I just think, would be astronomical if we're talking about trying to replicate it on our own. So,
I think part of my problem is we used to get a monthly report, and then it went into a negative report, and then it went for a month or two, and then, again, we're not getting reports. There should be some accountability to them by some standard.
I'm totally fine with asking for reports again. I don't recall ever getting them since I've been on council, but I wouldn't be opposed to getting them as long as it's not going to increase our costs.
Yeah. We used to get them, and then they discontinued for some reason, and then we complained, they continued, and then just as quickly they discontinued. Mm-hmm. So I just think we don't hold accountability to them. And to give them a $5,000 raise without accountability just...
Well, and I don't view it so much as a raise or like a bonus, but as just like that's the cost of doing, like the costs have increased and so proportionately. I mean, I'm looking at this and Eagle comprises this was for last year's contract. Eagle comprises 3.9% of their average service calls and Eagle pays 3.4%. Last year we comprised 5.4% of their service calls and we pay 3.5%. So, I mean, I feel like we're getting a better deal than some other places.
That's because Eagle has bigger dogs.
They need a trainer for those.
Or even Ada County as a whole comprises just under 13% of their average service calls, but pays over 20% of the contract costs. So. In any case, thank you.
I'd be willing to work with the $5,000 on the contingency that we get reports of accountability every month then. Any month we don't get the accountability, they do not get the $5,000.
I disagree with that entirely. I don't think we have the luxury of getting to say, like, okay, you guys have to come out and do animal services, but then if you don't send us a report at the end of the month, we're just not going to pay you for them. I think very quickly we will not have animal services at all, and then we'll be stuck in a place of, now what do? We're having to scramble to fill this gap.
If we have to be held accountable for the money we spend as city councilmen, then we should have reports to justify the money to our taxpayers.
That's fine.
We can ask them for reports.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't think we can unilaterally impose this obligation that they have no say in and they're not even aware of, and it's like now it's a contingency for you to get paid every month.
So our budget was $61,715 for animal control for last year, so that would bring it up to $66,715.
I think we make them come ask for it.
Okay. We certainly can. Well, the county folks do. Yeah. I mean, Sheriff's Office and Ada County Prosecutors, I'm totally fine with that. I just think...
Yeah, you pencil it in, they can ask for it.
No, well, and I think if we give them more notice than like a week or two before the budget has to be finalized, then they absolutely would, yeah.
Okay.
Greg? You got anything on here you want to add, subtract, multiply?
No, not right now.
Section 2 or 3, is there anything you want to pull out of 3 and put into 2 and take from 2?
I guess I'll have one other question, which is, I mean, if we're moving, if we basically have $20,000 that we're wanting to spend on park stuff, would we want to put it on already listed projects in here, like the park beautification project, pathway fixes, or anything like that? Or we just want to spend it on new stuff, like playground equipment? Particularly if we've already given him $25,000 right now to spend in the next like 2.5 months.
Let me ask a question for Bobby. You had your forecast, and I think you had that as one of your line items of playground equipment.
Mm-hmm.
What were you forecasting that you're needing in the next 5 years based on your preliminary growth? And
For the parks that don't have anything or for, like, the park impact fee stuff?
No, like the parks that don't have it. I just saw that. I've assumed that your chart was only for mm-hmm. non-park impact fee stuff. So.
We're really deficient in 3 parks, and so that's why there's only 3 of them listed. So in the next 5 years, I'd like to get something in those parks.
Do you remember that dollar amount?
Like total?
Was it?
Yeah, it was $35,000 for each park.
Okay.
But that was just a ballpark figure.
Pun intended.
You ever get in a ballpark?
So are we talking about taking the $24,000 and maybe spending it at Farm Park?
So So if I'm understanding correctly, we already, for FY17, had put aside 24.4 roughly, that we were going to authorize Bobby to spend for playground equipment or whatever. And then we were talking about for the 24.4 we have in the budget right now, that was the, where did it go? City Hall Acquisition Reserve Replenishment. We were talking about spending $4,443 of that towards the Humane Society contract, and then the 20 left we were going to give to Bobby for what we had discussed was potentially for additional playground equipment. And then I just asked, I see two park projects listed in here that add up to 20, and so then I was just wondering if we wanted to put it towards those things or if we really wanted to pay for the playground equipment instead. So pay for both.
I'll vote both.
You're surprising me tonight with your willingness to spend freely.
You know, if you recall, I did that last year too. As much as I'd like to remove everything, I don't think we have choices on others, and I think we need to get caught up. I really, as much as I even hate to say this, I think we're going to have to take the foregone and the 3% too.
Well,
I haven't agreed to that. I'm not saying I am.
I'll jump right into that discussion then if you want. Because purely looking at the Ada County Sheriff increase is $290,000, the only way that we can keep up with paying for that would be to take the 3% and the foregone. I mean, so in my mind, it's like a we have to do it kind of a thing.
Yeah, I don't think we have a choice as much as I
don't
want to, but I think we have to cover. I think we have to get caught up on police. I really do.
Well, unfortunately, on that Facebook group, Cuna Must Know, there's just been a lot of posts lately about how, like, unsafe a town Cuna is now from just a few little incidents. And so, I mean, I think it's needed. I don't think we're unsafe, but I do think it's needed to catch up.
I agree with you on that.
Mayor, if I could ask Bobby. Bobby, you're projecting $851,286 on the park impact fee. What is your intention with that money?
To spend it.
Well, that answered my question.
The first thing we want to do is buy some land with it, whether it be 10 or 20 acres, because with that park impact fee, we have to keep a level of service. So we will need to buy land.
So how big of a surplus do you intend to get to before you spend the money? Let me ask you that.
That's really up to the Park Impact Fee Committee. I've been trying to find some land and give them options here coming up, hopefully in our next meeting or two. That way we can get an idea. It's really all going to depend on the price of land and who we negotiate with.
It's been a while since the Park Impact Fee Committee has been able to be together, and tonight, now that we've added the other two members, they can start meeting again and have those discussions, so we can actually start moving forward with stuff now.
Could we take those funds and make some soccer fields and parking lot over on the 20 at the bend there going north out of town?
Maybe.
I want to say yes, because the only thing we included was just the price of the land. None of the amenities are there. So we can do something there.
That would get us some fields basically east of town where we have none at all.
Yes. The kind of the problem with that is we have no water, no pressurized irrigation, and no sewer. It's just farmland. So we would have to come up with a way to put an irrigation system in there, whether it be drilling a well or seeing if we can pull off of the lateral that runs through there. Either way, it's going to be kind of expensive.
Isn't the water being redone there by the storage facility, putting a new weir and whatnot?
Is it on that side?
With
Okay, so so the potable is out front.
Yeah, it's just down the street.
Is it on that side of the road yet?
I guess if we have a new weir, would it be possible to put a pump there and then just have some hand lines since it's a soccer field?
Potentially, yes. But I'd like to do an underground system, which we can basically do the same way. We'd have to build some sort of holding area and pump it out of there, if we're allowed to pull from that, which we should be.
I was going to say we should have a surface water available to there. Okay.
Might be a good idea to one of these days, if you and Richard could get together, you could go over some of those properties that you've been looking at and kind of show him what,
okay,
what we've found so far and what we're looking at.
There we go. Richard, you're buying.
Hey,
I'll use my city credit card.
It's revoked, sorry.
So you have one of those?
So I don't remember all of the accountant lingo.
Okay.
However, when we purchased City Hall, do you recall doing up, you did lots of numbers for us.
Okay.
That about lots of stuff. But the ones I'm remembering were specifically like analyses basically of how low we would want to drain our reserves and that sort of thing. I'm kind of putting you on the spot because I didn't ask you this ahead of time, but do you have any sort of estimate of a number below which we would not want to drain our reserves? Because we're looking at dipping rather significantly into them, and so I just wanted to check on that.
Yeah, and I can pull that up because there was a really in-depth analysis on exactly how to arrive at that number, and I can get you that. But what I would suggest is what we have before us is you probably don't want to go any lower than that. I wouldn't go below 1.1 million. I mean, if you get to a million, based upon the way we're growing, we want those reserves to come as close to paralleling our growth as possible. So if we grow 5% a year, we'd be nice to have that to grow 5% per year. But if I had to tell you right now a number to be safe or feel comfortable and meet a certain amount of operating expenses for a period of time to get us through a rough patch, I'd say I would not go below $1 million.
Okay, so it sounds like we need to figure something out, like we're still needing to cut stuff, because by my math, we're looking at, that's prior to property tax. Okay. Right.
So you're probably in the neighborhood, based upon what you've been discussing, ending between 1.2 and 1.3 before considering the downtown redevelopment.
Right, that's the thing that I was worried was going to put us over. Okay, I'm doing more math. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's 1.284 before downtown. Bobby, regarding the building, if the purchase goes through, is that something you think we can get away with 1 year to split it, so we can maybe take that 175 and cut it in half and make a, and I don't know if we can even do that, make a sinking fund for that building and then make you suffer for another year? To split that up, so.
Yes, I guess what I would ask, if we did do that, if we bought it with the 160 we have and then carried over 100, or budgeted 175 this year, so we're saying 175 next year?
No, I'm under the impression that 160 will be spent.
Okay.
So the 175 for next year for the building, because that's what I'm assuming, this is what that 300,000 or whatever it was, yeah, was for the building. To somehow split that, wait 1 year to split that, put half of it in next year, because that will save us almost, you know, maybe $100,000 back into contingency to give us a little more cushion.
Yeah, I can make that work. What I would ask, though, is if I'd be allowed to build what I could with the first 175 and then add on to it, potentially with the second 175 the following year.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have a problem with that as long as it's still split up, because I just want the 175. I'm not quite as... I mean, obviously, our contingencies in the enterprise funds are higher. Obviously, I would think that any emergency would cost us more off of an enterprise fund if we have a sewer pipe. So I don't want to dip into that too much.
But I mean, if we can somehow reduce that a little bit, I think I would feel a little better. So I didn't know if that would be something feasible to maybe split that. And I don't have a problem if other council members are right with that, to give you only, you know, between all four funds, the 175 next year, and then you'll get the other 175 the following year. But I also don't want to bind a future council that, and I guess if you're not needing it, if you're going to do it as an addition, they don't have to necessarily do it. So.
Yeah, I can make that work.
I don't know if that would help a little bit. Anybody's relief to pull some of that money out?
Well, the way that I'm looking at it, he was only asking for 175 this year. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, it was
this year.
Right. But so, I mean, we're not helping with this year's budget, right?
No, what I'm getting at is he's asking for, technically, between all four funds, 350 to build the shop.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that between all four funds, we reduced it to 175. So it maybe cut some of the general fund by 75 to 100,000 for next year to put back in a little more, give us a little more cushion on the reserves.
As long as you don't think it's going to, like, drastically increase the price of the building to do it that way. I mean, if it's like $50 a square foot is what you're estimating now, and it's going to take it to like 75, you know, increase it 30% or 50%, depending on how you get it.
No, I don't. I think the way we build a building would determine that. The only other caveat to that would be is the economy. You know, if it goes totally crazy, everything's going to go up. I wouldn't see that raising the price of it too much. No.
Okay.
Well, let me throw this out there, and I was going to hold off on doing this, but the City Hall Acquisition Fund technically has $39,800 of enterprise fund money that hasn't been reallocated. I mean, we can take the $39,800 from this year out of that to put towards the building, take your $39,800 next year, so that gives you another $70,000 on top of cutting this in half that's in the budget, and give you even a bigger chunk of money.
Wait, what? I wasn't listening.
If the City Hall Acquisition Fund actually also contains $39,000 of enterprise fund money.
From prior or?
For this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we would take that $39,800 and let him put that into the fund for the building. We would reallocate the $39,800 from next year's City Hall acquisition to go
You're
to the building.
Tricky.
And then cut this in half, and then so he really would almost probably have close to $200,000 to use next year, if not a little bit more, to get maybe two-thirds of a building instead of a half, so that the following year would maybe decrease a little more money. So I don't know.
If I can make a suggestion, I think that's a good suggestion, and the reason I say that is because you had talked about using the current year replenishment for park equipment. What that'll do is that'll effectively reduce what we had planned on carrying over to the new year for this budget. So if you take the budgeted amount for the replenishment like you're discussing for this coming year and allocate it back toward a reduction in one of the budgeted items, that helps you in that regard. I think that's what you're discussing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that would give him a little more, instead of putting it back into the reserves. Because we've never discussed that, and I think prior that was never an option, but I think that to make this happen, I mean, obviously it's all contingent on the property being purchased, but I just was throwing that out there to help. I mean, I'd like to save, you know, another $100,000 out of this year's budget. And if we can do it that way and still be whole in the end, I think that I would definitely feel more comfortable.
Okay.
John?
Yes, sir.
Of the $1,885,483 for the sheriff, how much of that is payroll that would be hit with a COLA?
Oh, let's see. I can give you a rough number based upon, and John may have it also, but I will, let me do a quick calculation for you here. Okay, so Okay, so the number I have here, for personnel costs was $1,787,092. Sound about right? Which was in the sheriff's information. And I'm assuming in that personnel cost is probably, I'm assuming it's all just labor and benefits. So if you multiply that by 2%, you're going to get $35,742.
And that would have to come out of the contingency because it's not allocated right now as a line item expense.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so basically what would happen is if the commissioners decided to do that, of course it would be subsequent to us setting the budget. We would just plan accordingly, and that would likely deem your remaining reserves by that amount.
By my math, Bob, that gets you to 254,760 total between us and the other funds.
I'll make it work.
Any other thoughts, or are we done with general fund?
I'm good.
So, just to recap then, to make sure we're all on the same page, we talked about, I guess, reallocating the City Hall Acquisition Reserve replenishment, the $24,443 currently budgeted for general fund. Of that, we were going to do $20,000 for parks to purchase playground equipment, $4,443 that was going to go to paying the Humane Society contract in addition to another math, $557. Which we would need to add in, and then the amounts allocated from Water, Sewer, and Irrigation Fund for City Hall Acquisition Replenishment would go instead to the request for acquisition of City Shop Yard. And then we were going to reduce that line item by 50% for each of the totals. Accurate? Okay. I think that was it in terms of changes, right?
That is
okay.
That's what I've got.
All right.
Okay. So, is there, and just to clarify, property taxes, 3%.
Yeah,
I don't think we have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say again, because our sheriff contract is increasing more than both of those. I think we have to take both of those in order to be able to keep up with that fixed year revolving cost. It's not a one-time thing. So
okay. So what I'll do is we'll go through the rest of them here real quick, and then subsequent to that, I believe if it's okay with council, we can move on and hopefully address the other folks in the audience, with JUB and that project, and then I will prepare a tentative budget. I will email it to you. Someone can read it into the record, and we should be good. Is that okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right. So next item is. This one's fairly straightforward. This one's the Capital Projects Fund. So in recap, in summary, the Capital Projects Fund, all it is a transfer of the major items, the capital items that we just covered in the general fund. It's transferring those funds out of the general fund into the Capital Projects Fund where they essentially are spent. So once, if we reduce something in the general fund, which we're not, well, I guess we are, it'll affect the Capital Projects Fund. So that's really all that is. It's just a transfer over, and it will mimic the general fund's transfers accounts. Is that everybody okay on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll move on to the next fund, which is the grant fund. And the grant fund has some projected items. One item that may be of interest to council, and we've covered this each year, and each year we've left it where it is. There was the donated funds back in 15, I believe, from DBTV Development as a part of the acquisition of the acreage in Lake Hazel by the sewer plant. They had designated that for a recreation-based project. It was not used. Part of it was used for the rec district implementation, which never came to fruition. So still you have $79,216 sitting there. It's just sitting in the grant fund. It's one item that could be potentially transferred to the general fund and used for most likely one of the identified recreation projects, in the parks.
But so that's just part of the 114, or?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yes, that's part of it, yes.
Okay.
So we could take that and put that back in the general fund, yes, and use for some of the stuff that we use, that think you can make?
But you'd want to make sure when Mr. Rick donated that, he had specified it was, he knew the city was embarking on a recreation type of project, and so he stated that that was what it was for, so I think we'd want to honor that, of course.
Yeah.
The definition of a recreation project, I guess, may be kind of broad, but I would say, it might be something you could earmark for playground equipment, or maybe something more broad. It's a tough thing.
Did we not need that for the splash pad?
We haven't allocated that to the splash pad. The monies we allocated were strictly out of the general fund.
I don't think we realized we had it because the splash pad came up like in mid-year, not when we were going over the whole budget, so I think we forgot about it.
Well, I know you talked about it because we were talking originally at 160, and then we said we actually had like 240 to spend.
Oh.
So how much have you, where do you, I mean, obviously if you've got that kind of spend, I want to make sure we're not going to double spend it.
Yeah, the $79,000 that John's talking about was included in the prices I've been giving you guys, because there was only $160,000 out of the general fund,
okay,
and then the remaining $79,000 or $80,000 was supposed to come from that for the recreation project.
So we need that for this what? Okay.
Well, actually, from a budgetary standpoint, that the 79 wasn't considered in the 160. So you've got 160 that came out of general fund. So you actually have an additional $79,000.
But if we are projecting the splash pad to cost 240. And that's what we're budgeting. We don't have that to use our luxury for anything else. And that's where I was trying. So
down the road, when Bobby gets to that point, then that's money you would want to use for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave it where it is. Everybody okay on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Chris, at this point in time, and you may be able to chime in as you need to, has other grants on the docket pending. And you might be able to elaborate if you want to. Nothing for sure at this point. Any questions?
No.
Amen.
Okay. I'll move on to the next one is the park impact fee. We changed the name of this because of the guidance kind of tells us that we need to keep a particular naming convention. So it's called the Park Impact Fee and Capital Projects Fund. This one is pretty straightforward. As we bring in those park impact fees, they sit in there and accumulate, and we budget them in contingency. And so attached to that budget, there's no identifiable project at this point in time, of course, for budgeting, so we just budget in contingency. Attached to that is the entire list of everything we've received to date. It's a model that tells you where you stand at any given time on a FIFO basis, which is basically first in, first out. So it tells you how much time you have before those particular impact fees sunset. So the majority of what you have in there right now, as of July 12th, was $369,971. The majority of those, $141,000 of those are sunset in 2021 and $228,000 sunset 2022. So you have time. But basically it's just a tracking mechanism that gets updated every single day. Is that clear? So really nothing to decide upon at this point in time, just kind of more of informative. All right, next one is the water fund. And water fund is laid out very similarly, to the general fund we just went over. On page one are your capital projects, and those were put forth a while back the engineers were here. And so those are listed there, and those total, in addition to the smaller items that were projected and approved in the general fund, they share small, the water fund shares a small portion of those as well. But those numbers at the top, your budget numbers, your revenues, and your expenditures show, when you compare the two, they show a deficit of $693,708, and that's typical in the way it gets budgeted. What that means is there's some significant capital projects in there that will require the use of reserve funds. And in the water fund, there is projected to be $2.9 million in reserve funds. So if you subtract the $600,000 from the 2.9, you're going to end up with $2.3 million. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so any questions on the water fund, on any of the capital projects that were put forth, anything of that nature? And the water fund is looking pretty healthy, and it's got a pretty healthy reserve. It's doing good. Everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one is the well mitigation fund. It's just a single page with a little note on it. And the well mitigation, the litigation that created this fund expires September 2nd. So subsequent to September 2nd, there will be a resolution that will come before you authorizing us to move the funds that were accumulated in the well mitigation fund over to the water fund as a basically a boom to the water fund. So really the water fund is actually in a better position than we just talked about by $251,000. Is everybody okay on that one?
Yep.
So the well mitigation will be deleted. There will be no budget for it in this year. Sewer fund is the next one. Sewer fund is the only one of the enterprise funds that we really have to keep a close eye on. And it's structured in the same fashion. The deficit that's budgeted is actually $1.36 million. The reserves at the end of this year are projected to be $2.9 million. So as you can see, that kind of gets you, that takes your reserves down a fair amount, especially in the sewer fund. Anything that goes wrong is a pretty significant cost. The big item there is there's a major capital project that was included here, and that's the Orchard Regional Lift Station, and that was put in at $1.2 million. It was originally in there at $2 million. I'm not sure why it dropped to 1.2, but that tells me that there is some liquidity in there. Some it's kind of fluid, so those numbers could change as we go through it. And I know Bob and I talked about it, and. It's something that has to be a close eye kept on for a while. Is everybody okay on the sewer fund?
I have one question for you.
Ahead.
Why do we have such a substantial jump in miscellaneous income?
So the miscellaneous income items is where we budget the transfers in from the latecomers fee fund, so development reimbursements, and that's an item that by the end of this fiscal year we kind of got to get a hold on. And hopefully with the new engineering crew that we're on, contractor or employee, we'll be able to get a hold of that. Otherwise, we'll take it on ourselves. So, yeah. Any other questions on the sewer fund? Everybody okay?
Yep.
Okay. Irrigation fund, same structure. Its budgeted deficit is $101,783. It has $1.6 million of reserves. Nothing concerning about the irrigation fund from my standpoint. Any questions on the sewer fund?
Nope.
Solid waste fund. All this is a transfer in, transfer out. It's got projected growth in it. One of the items that we generally project in here is the cost of, or the inflationary index. We build that in to the rates. J&M has suggested they're not interested in that this year, and I can quite understand why, but they're going to forego that related to the recycling program. So I'm not quite sure how the math is working there, but just want to let you know that that's not factored in. And latecomers,
thank you for your support.
Latecomers fee fund, and that's the one we just discussed. It lists out all of the projected reimbursements that are on here that we have sitting in the fund, and part of it is the city, and that's where that miscellaneous income that Councilmember Jones asked about. They come from the latecomers fee fund, and they get transferred into those enterprise funds to reimburse the city for its upsizing of lines on historical projects. So any questions at all? Everybody asleep? All right. Very last one, it's the easiest one, it's the agency fund. All this is our trust fund where we house money in the Bank of the Cascades of for monies that we don't own. It's given to us by others to hold, namely for sureties or cash performance bonds and things of that nature. Any questions? Okay.
I just have one quick question. I assume Bob for most of these that have now become under your jurisdiction? You have no concerns or anything that...
No, I really don't. John and I went over them pretty thoroughly once we got our hands on them. We actually reduced in quite a few spots. I feel very comfortable with where we're at and with the amount of time I had to spend on it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, I'll send you guys an email, and we can finish it up when we're done with the rest of the items.
Perfect.
Okay, very good. That brings us back to the presentation on the downtown and the bid and direction on that.
If they're weak.
Item 7B.
I appreciate everything Pat said earlier. I am not psyched about the idea. I have concerns, I should say, about the idea of spending another $15,000-ish on engineering costs to modify a plan that we've already thoroughly staffed through public input and that sort of thing that I think we've achieved consensus on and people are pretty happy with, particularly if we're not really sure how much we're actually going to save by doing that. I mean, I wish we could just make little changes like we're not going to color the concrete without having to go through the whole process again, but it is what it is. I don't know if you guys want to discuss, I mean, as I see it right now, there's the base bid and the bid alternate, so my impression is that we would be able to say no to bid alternate number one, the bulb outs on the north and southwest corners of Main and Avenue D, but I know that was something that we had previously, like, specifically approved. And I mean, I do think it's nice for the aesthetic of it, and my assumption is as we move down the street that all of the intersections would have all four. Is that the point? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't necessarily want to make it stick out like a sore thumb right there. So, I mean, I'm not super psyched about the increase, and I certainly understand that we're ending up spending a lot more than we intended to, but I do also appreciate that greater than 60% of the project, 66 by my math, is being borne by entities other than the city. So in all, we're getting a pretty good deal on it. Particularly, only 22% is coming from actual general fund. So does it give me a little heartburn? Yeah, but I don't think the pricing is going to get better if we wait. I'm not psyched about spending additional money in the hopes that it'll get cheaper without any sort of guarantee. And I also don't think, I think what Lisa started off by saying is certainly worth considering, which is I've heard not just about this project, but about lots of things in Kuna. Like, we talk about it all the time and then nothing ever happens. And so I think I'm hoping that having something actually happen will kind of spur excitement and interest in the rest of it, and then maybe also in getting other things done in Kuna. So with all of that said, I would advocate for spending the full $111,300 that is being requested. Anybody else?
Lisa, can I ask you a question? You've been involved in or looked at other downtown revitalizations that other cities have done. Do most of those all provide a benefit for the businesses themselves along that? I mean, do they see increases? Do they see increases in their property values? And
Councilman Jones, good question. Yeah, there's a lot of benefits related to economic development, not just for the businesses along there, but the community as a whole, because it creates walkability and connectivity that doesn't really currently exist. You know, there's no shade, no landscaping, that type of thing. Another thing is like site selectors that, you know, say they're looking even to locate out on Deer Flat or away from downtown. They still, one of the main criteria that they evaluate is what does the downtown look like and would they want to bring workers here to live here and have a vibrant, improved downtown. So there's there's multiple economic development benefits, and it's not just for the businesses within that footprint.
Plus, I heard there's like a huge movie industry that's interested in shooting in Kenna.
Exactly.
I joke.
I guess I concur with what Brianna has said. I don't think we really have too much of a choice. Obviously, I would have liked to have somebody give me a little bit, but I don't think that's doable. But I guess I hope the businesses on that street and all of Main Street understand what it's going to do for them. Mm-hmm. And I really hope they come on board and do something to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I know some will. I'm concerned about others. But I just hope that if they see that what we're doing, that they have hopefully show that we're investing in them. And even myself as a taxpayer, I'm investing in them. So I guess to be blunt, I better see something in return. So,
I think
after everything we've done, we do the whole thing. I think we're going to come out, I think somewhere, and John can correct me later, but I think we're somewhere around 1.25 in contingency after we do everything. I'm showing 1.174 before the before we added back the 75,000-80,000 or whatever we're doing for the half of the shop with the whole thing. So I'm showing 1.25, and obviously it's a little lower than I'd like, but I think it still puts the city hopefully in a safe spot, and I assume you so. I'm all right with doing this. So,
one other thing I'd like to add, if you don't mind, is I can envision kind of a groundbreaking ceremony maybe as part of CUNA Days, because construction would begin shortly after that, and then that would also help with a lot of the fundraising that we're doing for the art pieces and the different things are going to draw more people to downtown. And I just think it'd be really cool.
If council decides that's what they want to do, could we have a motion to approve the $111,300 out of contingency in the general fund, and then the $167,700 out of the public works funds of water and irrigation, PI?
Anybody else have comments?
I agree with you guys. We put a lot of money and effort into it already. Obviously, JUB's done a ton, and to just flush it down at this point, because building costs might go down, that'd put us in the same boat as the movie theater. So let's drop the ball and kick it and go with it.
And you'll be done by September? You don't have to open back up after the parade. We leave it closed.
Rich, any comments?
Being a property owner downtown, I guess I want to just remain neutral on the issue right now.
Okay.
So.
You can participate in the flower pots or banners or something.
You know, you got my address.
Are you projecting the start date August 7th?
Moving forward, if we move forward on this, then there's some steps in the contract of, issuing the notice of award, and then the contractor has 15 days to get back their information. So I think we're going to be right around that same date.
And is there a projected completion?
The completion date, that I believe in the contract, is going to be right around the end of October, 1st of November, right in there.
And then do you know who the contact is for any business owners who have questions or anything like that? Who do they contact?
That actually is going to that changed, and that, Lisa, because of what we're doing with ITD and the scene. So it's going to be the city.
Okay. And if we can maybe send something out to the ones that are affected, so just to remind them. I know we've done that already, but just to remind them of who.
And that was JUB's recommendation as we transition that over.
All right. I move we approve the expenditure of $111,300 from contingency in the general fund and $167,700 from Public Works Funds Water and PI for the downtown revitalization project.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the spending of $111,300 from the general fund and $167,700 from public work funds to move forward with the downtown project. Is there any further discussion?
On the option number one, we've kind of put some language in there to also approve the issuance of notice award, which would allow the mayor to sign that for the contract and then enter into the contract with Knife River to expedite getting that done.
I'd like to amend my motion to include approving the issuance of the notice of award and authorizing entering into a contract with Knife River.
Second stands.
Second still stands. Okay. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Bubin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And so that motion carries. Thank you very much.
I appreciate what JUB has done for everything. So I know you guys have gone above and beyond, so I really appreciate that. Let's make it happen next time.
Yeah. Please do.
It's Bob's fault, right?
Yeah.
And thanks for hanging out for that riveting budget conversation. Okay, item 9A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-11, annexing Greyhawk 6 subdivision into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District. This is an ordinance of the City of CUNA annexing the real property described in Exhibit A and Exhibit B and commonly referred to as Greyhawk 6 subdivision into the Municipal Irrigation District from the New York Irrigation District and changing the boundaries thereof, declaring water rights pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date. I think this is something we can fast track if it is the will of the council.
Seems like a fairly routine request, so I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2017-11.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2017-11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2017-11.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2017-11. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Bubin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2017-11.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2017-11. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. It will become law upon publication. Item 9B, consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-12, annexing Patagonia 2 subdivision into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District. An ordinance of the City of CUNA, Idaho, annexing the real property described in Exhibit A and Exhibit B and commonly referred to as Patagonia 2 subdivision into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District from the New York Irrigation District and changing the boundaries thereof, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date.
All right, same deal, pretty routine, so I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2017-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of 2017-12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2017-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2017-12. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
All right. Sorry, I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2017-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve summary publication of ordinance 2017-12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries, and that will become law upon publication. Mayor and council announcements. Is there anyone that wishes to announce anything new and exciting in your lives?
I have two things, Mayor. One, I don't know if anybody's noticed, there's a new business open. It's opened up.
Idaho Central?
Yeah. The other thing is, Mayor, do you have an update on the pole in Swamp Falls Road?
Yes, that looks as though that will be completed by the end of August. I believe the new lid had to be manufactured, and there's some depth issues there that are going to be resolved at the same time. So should be by the end of August. I think that's right.
Yes, that's correct. The lid had to be precast somewhere else. As soon as that's in, just got to schedule some road closure and get that done. Should be. My understanding will be done by the end of August.
And do you think that is resolving our problem?
We sure hope so. That's the intent.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know there was something I was going to mention, but I didn't make a note of it. I'll tell you later. Anybody have anything else?
Are we waiting on something from John to read into the record?
Yes, you are. Give me just 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you email that to us?
Yeah.
Will you email it to the iCloud ones if you can? It's easier for me to find. I'll find it in either one if you need to.
Well, we did have a incident with a pickup and a trailer. One of the city pickups clipped the trailer that was parked out across the fog line a little there and did some damage to our pickup and the trailer, and I think it bumped another car is what I understand. I didn't see pictures of it. But
this is a random question, but do we have a, like, is there a minimum property damage value that triggers getting whatever employee caused it drug tested or anything like that?
That it was an accident involved, so there was a,
it's like any property damage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We did that.
Yeah, and
any
he,
accident.
He was taken in and all that good stuff, so.
Cool.
He was clean. It was just an accident.
When I used to work at Costco, there was a dollar threshold, and on my last day on the job, my manager accidentally drove a forklift into a double stack pallet of wine, like thought it was cut, but it wasn't. And so when he went to lift the top pallet, it, like, took everything off the bottom.
Ooh.
And it was, like, 15 minutes before open, and we had, like, this wave of red wine that, like, just flew everywhere. And we're trying to, like, gingerly pick up the bottles because some of them, like, fell upside down but didn't break, and there's just so much glass. So I was trying to, like, make sure I didn't break extra ones, and he's like, oh, who cares? Like, it's already something. Like, he was so pissed. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, after we totaled it up, it was, like, one bottle of wine under what the dollar threshold would have been for him to have to go get a drug test. And so I was like, dude, you owe me now.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
Mayor, can I ask the chief something?
Sure.
I know we're on the agenda or anything, but a question has come up, and I'm sure you'll be aware of what I ask you. Is it a crime to leave a scene of an accident that involves an injury to an animal?
Oh, yeah.
I believe that is, the answer to that is no. Richard, you?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Injury to somebody else on the property, damage or offense.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it qualify as property damage?
No, if it's to your own use, I'm not dying.
No, but like if a vehicle hits somebody's horse or dog, wouldn't that qualify as property damage? Leaving the scene of a property damage causing you, they've damaged your property.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how in the state code it's not interpreted that way, though. Livestock is a different, I think there's a special ordinance for. It depends, you know, open range versus herd district.
Oh, I saw a different one.
Not yet. Isn't that weird? Yeah. Now that you ask that question, that's
kind of weird.
But we could change our ordinance, right?
You get a nuisance dog ticket. It's one thing, but for what you're talking about, I think it's opposite.
Well, I think that it would have been, I don't know, I would probably like to have a discussion on that in the future, maybe, if that's something that we can implement as a city.
I'd be fine with that.
I mean, I know they don't consider animals or pets as humans, which, I mean, I'd like to be able to do that, take a tax deduction, but to have them no value at all, right. I mean, not even, that doesn't make sense, and I just think that...
Well, it should at least be considered property damage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know why we could. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if that's something...
What circumstance are you factually...
Well, there's been a
couple incidents where somebody's like hit a dog and then left.
Yeah, just driven
like
off.
Knowingly hit a dog and left.
That's real rude.
When like the owner or somebody was there to witness, like one of them was an owner was there, another one was like just a passerby happened to witness it and.
I mean, I can get with you later. I mean, it's just I don't want to go too far into the record.
Well, let's look at it. And see.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess,
And I'm a dog owner, a dog lover, but if you stop and the dog's not deceased, does that then extend the liability to take it to the vet? And if you take it to the vet and it doesn't have an owner that comes forward, are you then liable for the vet services treating it? I mean, there's a whole range of things. As tragic as it is,
can you make it so they would just have to report it? I mean, something to consider. My thing is, and I'll be a devil's advocate here. What's to prevent me from going around and just hitting every dog I want now, knowing that you can't touch me? And I'll just start going looking for dogs to hit. I mean, the way that the people are in the world nowadays, I mean, I can see somebody at some point, you know, God forbid not, but.
I mean, one of the incidents that he's talking about, like, it seemed like it was incredibly intentional.
The last few times we've called them, they say just let it, you know, bring it, let nature do its course. But the animals, we'll remove them and let animal control know, and then they try to.
Because people call about like they're missing pets and stuff. And,
yeah. You know, one of the big challenges we have when we end up going to court and writing the criminal, issues is, or we get subpoenaed to go in for civil cases, is that, you know, the dog is at large, usually, and once in a great while it'll have a leash attached to it and an owner that still gets hit. But most of the time the dog is at large, and so it's been my experience, the courts look at that a little bit like the open range, you know, open range, where you're, that's not a very good example, actually.
It's exactly the opposite.
It's like the livestock, where you have responsibility to.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite, where just, you know, if the dog's on the road, it's kind of part of the road. Maybe that's something that even the state legislature is probably getting. I imagine they're getting more and more citizens saying, you know, maybe we need to address this.
Yeah, cause, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, but it sounds like from what I've just heard tonight that there's laws that hitting livestock that allows them to be protected, but.
Absolutely, yes.
Because animals you can kill for money are more valuable than the ones that you have in your house.
Yes. Yeah, but there's dogs that make money nowadays. I mean, there's some dogs on YouTube probably make more money in a year than I do. So, where do you put that value? I don't know. I just sort of something that maybe somebody can look into and consider. Yeah.
Well, and yeah, I mean, people will finally come.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
No.
I'm sorry. No. All right. Just kidding.
I would like to make a motion.
Okay, real quick. Okay. I could not get it to work the second time, so the motion is kind of truncated, so I can read that to you really quick. Can you see it all?
I move we adopt the following budget for fiscal year ending September 2018.
Did you sent that to everybody?
You got a tentative budget. Yeah, I sent it to everybody.
Yes, the following ten. Okay, so I move we adopt the following tentative budget for fiscal year ending September 2018.
Perfect.
I'll try not to mess this up. For the general fund, $6,370,718. Capital projects fund, $443,110. Grant fund, $1,100,000. Park impact fee and capital projects fund, $851,286. Water fund, $6,184,524. Well mitigation fund, $0. Sewer fund, $7,345,287. Irrigation fund, $2,786,167. Solid waste fund, $1,858,827. Latecomers fund, $1,763,609. Agency fund, $384,170 for a city grand total of $29,087,698. And the public hearing is set for 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time on Tuesday, August 15th, 2017 at Cuna City Hall.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Bubin Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Now, meeting adjourned.
So far.